with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to Ted's Tubes Tuesday. Well, at least this Tuesday will be Ted's Tubes Tuesday. The author of that famous line. Well, I'll let you hear it for yourself. He has gone to his long home. He has gone to his reward. They've thrown his carcass on the back of a big truck. And with any luck, we'll soon flush it down the series of tubes. Ted Stevens. Dead in a plane crash. You got to wonder what he did to piss off the Bush family to make him get on that small aircraft and go boom. My, it wasn't that tacky of me to talk about a dead guy that way. But you know what? He didn't think much of us during life. You liberals. So, you know, fair's fair. No, old Ted's gone. Yes, indeed, Ted is gone. But not forgotten by any stretch of the imagination, he is an internet god now. He has transitioned to the astral plane.
Deliver in other ways, but they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Yes, it is, Ted Stevens. And we're glad you noticed. But the man who screamed, "Now!" I guess he, in many ways, presaged the current GOP party of now! He's gone. He's out of here. He has checked out. He's pining for the fjords, if you will, Ted Stevens. So, bye-bye. Okay, that's about as much as he's worth. Some great... first, I'm going to go to the mailbag in a second. But let's get everything in order the way that it needs to be, all neat and tidy, before we jump into the program tonight. Where to start? There is much jubilation here at the mansion this evening. I am proud to report to you that only via your goodwill and your good efforts, all of you, the septic system is installed. It's done. It works. The monkey is off my back. I don't have to worry about $100 a day fines or wearing cute little day glow orange jumpsuits with little matching plastic shower shoes. It's done. And it is a great relief, and suffice to say that the entirety of the Kincaid family is positively flush with joy. Ha 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 ha. I made it funny. We're flush with joy at the prospect of the new septic system. Flush. You get it, right? Ha ha. Yeah, I suppose so. And you know what? It's over, and just to let you know, again, it would not have been possible without you. And without that being in there, the horn would be gone. It would be done. There's a lot more that goes into all of this than simply hotting up a microphone and getting behind it and babbling. You did that. I'm sorry it was that it was necessary to do. I can think of a million other things that the horn could have done with the money, but that was the necessity. And to you goes all the credit to you all, and all of our thanks from each and every one of us here. And it's the kind of thanks that keeps on thanking. Day in and day out. Sincerely. You use the PayPal button and you use the snail mail address and you saved. You saved this family. And for that, we are grateful beyond expression. And now that this is all over, I was a little nervous talking about all of the details while it was going on. But now that this is over, there's one last little thing I want you to know about this whole process. When this whole thing started developing, and whoever that sleazy neighbor was, instead of knocking on my door and saying, oh, I think you got a problem, instead just picked up the phone and dropped the dime to the county. When this whole thing began, the weather was cool enough to still require a jacket. Now, I don't want anybody looking outside the window for their black helicopters or thinking that we're putting on our tinfoil helmets here at the Horn. We're not. This is just a reality. But when this discussion first began about the need to replace this thing, the guy from the county showed up, pulled up into my driveway here at the mansion, and got out of the car, and we stood outside and talked. And like I said, it was cool enough to be jacket weather. And everything sort of unfolded around me, and the scales fell away from my eyes, and I no longer saw through a glass darkly. Again, I didn't want to say this while the thing was in process because, frankly, you never know what... I didn't want my life being made any more miserable than it was already being made. And not just my life, Agnes's, Doodles, Ferg's, Margie's. But as we stood out there on the in the driveway talking about all this, in jacket weather, it was impossible not to note that he was wearing a windbreaker from Massey Energy. And don't think that that didn't weigh upon my mind. Again, I don't hear the whirring of the black helicopters, and there are no rays coming coming through my brain from beta reticuli. But it's very true. He wore a jacket from Marfork Coal Company with that big, hateful black M with the flame shooting out of the top, the logo of Massey Energy. But here we are done at a cost of nearly $7,500. And don't think I don't scratch my head just a little bit. You know what? It's been very frustrating, the whole process. Not the part that you participated in. That was inspiring. Brought tears to all of our eyes. But it has been very frustrating. Very frustrating. And Agnes and I were talking about it a little bit ago, and I said, you know, I don't think I will ever get the image out of my mind of that man standing there in the driveway wearing that Massey Energy jacket telling me that we had a pollution problem. And this is one of the reasons that I love my darling Agnes so very much, and we have stayed married for so very long. Because I don't have to say things anymore. I barely even have to think them before she can just repeat them for me. And as we stood there and I mentioned that Massey jacket, she looked at me and said, forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown. And you know what? That's the truth of the matter. That is the absolute truth of the story. If we're going to stay here in West Virginia, and there's no reason to think that we are not, if we're going to stay here in West Virginia, we're going to stay here in West Virginia with the full, wide, awake, bright-eyed understanding that it's Chinatown. really and truly is. That all the heroes who live here and work here, the folks that I tell you about every night, like the people at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, my personal hero, Judy Bonds, Vernon Haltom, our good friend Bo Webb, all the volunteers who put in time and energy, our dear friend Nanette, all of these people, we all know it's Chinatown. And we all know that the game is rigged. The dice are loaded. There's a break on the roulette wheel. And it never lands for us. Until we make it land for us by demanding it. We know that the state government of West Virginia is bought and paid for by Massey Energy, Don Blankenship, and the rest of the coal thugs. We know that. We absolutely know that. It's our reality. But that's not to say that somewhere along the way, when I think about that hateful black M with the flame coming out of it, and, you know, we have a pollution problem here, that I don't get just a little bit furious. Just a little bit furious. But it's done. Hallelujah, it is done. And it's done because of you. Because of you. You made it happen. Now, enough of that. Let's see. Some fun stuff. You absolutely will want to be here Monday. Monday, the 16th of August, 2010. Because, well, maybe you're not the big fan I am. Yes, you are. I've seen it in the chat room. Don't think I don't watch. Monday, August the 16th, at the very top of the program, we are going to be joined by none other than author, chef, world traveler, and the only guy that I actually bother to schedule my time around watching on the TV box, Anthony Bourdain. Author of the wonderful book, Medium Raw, A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook. And I have a feeling this conversation is going to be different, or at least I hope it will, for most of the other conversations that he's had in promoting the book. Because in the course of reading the book, you know, it's about, well, what's the subtitle? Yeah. A Bloody Valentine to the World of Food and the People Who Cook. Well, it's that. But if you read it closely, it's also a very, very close observation of the culture in which we live and the way things tend to work these days. So I'm really looking forward to the conversation. It'll be right at the top of the show, Monday the 16th, Anthony Bourdain on the horn. I've had a couple of great emails that I wanted to get to in the course of the program. One's left over from last night that I wanted to get to that just happens to turn out to fit nicely with, it fits nicely with something that developed earlier today, namely the Robert Gibbs story. You've heard the Robert Gibbs story, right? White House spokesman Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary, is mad at us, mad at you, mad at me, mad at we, us. You know, the professional left, those weirdos who wanted a public option, those weirdos who want the war in Afghanistan ended, you know, the professional left. Yeah, that's me, the professional left, the guy with the professional left septic tank. Hoo-wee! Robert Gibbs, we are living high on the hog down here. Come on down, we'll show you the septic tank us professional left types get. Anyway, an email that works quite nicely with that. But before I go there, a little something else for you. You know, periodically and all too infrequently, we get missives here from our dear friend Scott in Sweden, who likes to put Swedish words in italics in emails because I think he likes, I don't know, I think maybe he's getting me to swear in Swedish and getting some sort of Swedish giggle out of it. Do Swedes giggle? Just asking. But no, Scott, I got up this morning, and of course Scott is several hours ahead of us, being as he is, in fact, in Sweden. Sverige. I think I almost said that almost close, but I'm sure I'll get corrected. No, I got this wonderful email from Scott based on last night's Moran Monday show. And Scott writes, "Hi, Bob and all my fellow hornies. Being a day late, but never a holler short, I had to comment on Monday's show. There was a lovely red thread, as it's called by we Swedes. Yes, I have officially defected. Running through the program. And that is the response by capitalism to the current economic crisis, or as in all Kikling versus Ag, I don't know, Scott, help me here, models. Perhaps I also mean how American capitalism has, that's Kikling, I think. Perhaps I also mean how American capitalism has both created and responded to the current economic crisis. First, you had Rush brazenly telling Captain Kirk that healthcare is only a consumer good. Those in the beachfront mansions get the first line treatment. Those in bungalows get second line. And evidently, the riffraff should do exactly as Alan Grayson predicted of the GOP healthcare plan. Don't get sick, but if you do, die quickly. Damn it, now that they've invented tasers, why didn't Kirk just put his on stun? Stun? I'd prefer he had his on, since Limbaugh was sitting next to him, I would have preferred it be on evaporate. Remember when Daffy Duck used the gun and set it on evaporate? Had it pointed at Marvin Martian, pulled the trigger, and evaporated himself? Yeah. The life of man raised on Warner Brothers cartoons. I'm sorry, there's always a... Daffy Duck is every man. But anyway, Scott continues. Meanwhile, back in the developed world, our health care is provided to each and every citizen at about one-half the cost of identical care in the U.S., the reasons it's so cheap, single-payer universal health care, less than 3% overhead costs, and a strong push for neighborhood primary care consultations. Early detection and intervention matter. But that's only part of it. That two-thirds of the workforce is unionized means damn near everyone has a living wage. Accordingly, our diet is much healthier. Since our media and our medical community works to increase public awareness of the role of exercise and a good diet, and we are not forced by the very cheapest overprocessed white carbohydrates. P.S. I've never seen high fructose corn syrup listed in the ingredients, which incidentally must state the percentage of all ingredients. Well, you know, there you go. No high fructose corn syrup in Sweden. Scott's making a compelling argument. To better health can be added that far fewer of us drive cars door to door for every conceivable out of bungalow experience. Uh-oh, he's coined one, and I think we're having an out-of-bungalow experience. Back up, I'm ruining this. To better health care can be added that far fewer of us drive cars to door-to-door for every conceivable out-of-bungalow experience, and one begins to approach a holistic approach to health. Access to and the provision of medical care has become a human right here because the public demands it. That was italicized. Access to and the provision of medical care has become a human right here because the public demands it. Sure, people bitch about high taxes, but every politician seriously advocating privatization has a notably short career. Your show ended with Krugman's six-month follow-up of the Horn's discussion of infrastructure collapse in America. The response to the current worldwide economic panic, to use the lovely Gilded Age term, could not have been more different between the U.S. and Sverige. We were hit, too, but the response here was pure Keynesian, and this from our conservative party, who is currently running things. While Obama's initial urge was a stimulus package, U.S. conservatives soon had him chickening out and clipping those wings to the nibs. Sweden habitually saves funds during the good times for precisely these periodic downturns, and that's when our highways get fixed up. New bridges, new rail links, harbor renovations, bike paths, etc. And then there is non-construction investment, too. stimulus packages are de rigueur here, or as the Swedes like to say, de rigueur. Jesus God. Although with Wall Street running, or as we Swedes say, de rigueur. You know what the problem is with the French? They don't have a word for entrepreneur. Although with Wall Street running the world, we worry that we will be granted too few good times to accumulate our kickling nest eggs and soon be dragged down in the murk and made moran morass. So far, we've recovered fairly well on our side of the pond, yet our much more humane system is directly threatened by America's collapse into neo-feudalism as one panic follows the next. There are many here, myself included, who feel that if Americans cannot get their act together and fight back against their neo-lords and reinvigorate their democracy, all of our efforts here be wasted. We can only do so much with limited resources, and if Wall Street and the very big corporation of America, there's our first, isn't that our first Monty Python reference of the night? If Wall Street and the very big corporation of America screw up the world's economic stability, we end up as little more than Kikling Sopa 2. First, America consumes natural resources like a bush on a binge, while the rest of us try to balance a budget. Now its elite are sucking up the world's money like they have a God-given right to it. And yes, we have our share of these rich fothermuckers who share this neo-feudalism mentality too, but so far we've held them in check. The world needs Americans to defeather their rich-ass kickling skit capitalister before ours begin lusting too much to emulate America's. Do your part, America, and quit undercutting everyone else's welfare state. A better way is out there, but it won't last if you can't rein in these jävla skitstövlar. I think he just made me swear in Swedish. But yeah. Thank you, Scott. It's nice to be reminded periodically of what is out there for us to screw up. There is more at stake here than, quite frankly, even we fully realize. Marty says, Representative Grayson left out one part of the GOP health care plan. One, don't get sick. Two, if you do get sick, live long enough to give all your money to one of their corporate donors and then die quick. Marty says, I want to go to Norway and see this and go see the Seven Sisters. But then, as I mentioned, there was the Robert Gibbs thing today. He gave an interview to The Hill. You know, if you walk through any of the House or Senate office buildings, the Hill is just laying around all over the place. During an interview with The Hill in his West Wing office, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs blasted liberal naysayers whom he said would never regard anything the president did as good enough. I hear these people saying he's like George Bush. Those people ought to be drug tested. I mean, it's crazy. The press secretary dismissed the professional left in terms very similar to those used by their opponents on the ideological right, saying they will be satisfied when we have Canadian health care and we've eliminated the Pentagon. That's not reality. You know, I think the people calling for Robert Gibbs' resignation are probably correct. I don't have any time for this. Telling me that universal health care is not reality. Tell that to Scott in Sweden. Seems to be working well for him. Tell that to the Canadians. Tell it to people all over the world for whom it seems to be working nicely. But we, America, the greatest nation in the history of the world, can't have it? BS. Bug spray. Of those who complain that Obama caved to centrists on issues such as health care reform, Gibbs said, they wouldn't be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich was president. Well, what a nice little snarky little jibe at Mr. Kucinich, Mr. Gibbs. I would submit that in Mr. Kucinich's frame there is more courage than you will ever know in your entire existence, Mr. Gibbs. And most likely more intelligence, too. After all, Dennis Kucinich is the one man who has been correct about just about everything since the year 1999. That's about 11 years ago now, isn't it? Can you make that claim, Mr. Gibbs? I don't think so. The waffling about don't ask, don't tell. Did you know that we lost a cadet at West Point over that? She resigned from the military academy saying she could no longer live a lie. I suppose she had gone to West Point, and Lord knows you don't get in there by dropping a quarter in a gumball machine. You don't find West Point with an apple and a road map. No, she was someone special. And she resigned from the military academy because if she was going to be a career member of the military, it was beginning to look more and more likely that she would spend her life living a lie. And so it dovetails nicely that I have this note from Tosh. And he says, I have three parallel predictions for the midterms. One, if the GOP manages to recover power in 2010, they will be gone by 2020. I take this prediction from Japanese politics. Remember your conversations with Robert? The Japanese are culturally conservative in a classic sense that things don't change, nor should they. Two, the other option is 1934. That is part of the reason I wrote that thing about the Obama agenda. I read that on the air a couple of weeks back. The for-profit media is trying to convince us otherwise, but the agenda Obama is pushing is the lightened version of what polls show the people want. Still today, after 2006 and 2008, the Democratic polls, politicians are listening for the conservative footsteps. Then again, Democratic politicians always listen for conservative footsteps, even if they're in a place where sound can't travel and the hall's too dark to see anything. It's in their nature. They figure out that this great conservative country will reject them, you see, these Democratic politicians. You know there's no liberal radio in D.C., for instance. If we could turn that about on itself, we could really get some good stuff done. It means we need all these folks who still have Obama stickers on their cars, and there are lots of them. They need to turn out and lay some smackdown on the GOP. The GOP somehow thinks that once us white guys wake up to the horrible job Obama is doing, we will run, not walk, to the polls to return the GOP to power. Three, closer to home, what I suspect is looking at polling maps that the Senate Democrats may actually gain seats while the GOP gains in the House. Not enough for Boehner to be Speaker, but enough to leave some House Democrats quivering. This would be a better situation from the standpoint of getting stuff done, but then I worry about their nerve. Don't we all, Tosh? Don't we all? Since all these polls are run through the likely voter, I imagine they could be several points off, especially Rasmussen, who seems to think there are more Republicans than even his polls support. Boiling it all down to a basic point, Tosh says, we need a stomping so the GOP knows the people are done with them. And that's the creepy part. Not the idea that they need to be stomped. God knows they do. But the latest numbers on potential Democratic voters who are very enthusiastic about the November midterms, 22%. The number of GOP likely voters who are very excited about the November midterms, 44%. Something wicked this way comes. Indeed. So that's basically where we're headed. We will go and take a little bit of a break, if that's okay by you. I hope it is. And when we come back, I think we're going to have a conversation. It's something Matt Osborne mentioned last week on the program. Do you remember when Matt mentioned the idea of a burn notice and serving a burn notice about Andrew serving a burn notice about Andrew Breitbart? I think we're going to do that tonight. We'll be talking to Matt here in a few minutes. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to bring on a Breitbart expert par excellence. Our good friend and longtime colleague, Brad Friedman, will be joining us at the top of the hour. So that's all ahead. It's Ted's Tubes Tuesday on the horn. This should be fun. After all, it's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And somewhere down in that series of tubes, there's us. The Horn. America's liberal voice. Listener supported. 6 years old and going strong. And I'm Bob.
The high.
That song's really growing on me. I first heard it when I was listening to Matt Osborne's video of his trip up to Area 51 while he was out in Las Vegas at Netroots Nation. And speaking of whom, he is with us on the line right now. Hey, Matt Osborne.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. By the way, who is that that does Black Helicopter?
That is Matthew Good, G-O-O-D. He's a Canadian.
Well, that explains everything.
Oh, yeah. He's an indie rock. He's really fun to listen to. And he has a great blog, too.
Oh, yeah? Is he a member, is it like you and me, is he a member of the professional left?
Well, he's a professional musician. I don't know about professional left. I mean, in Canada, you don't really need a professional left because the whole society is sort of a little left of us. That's really good music. And, yes, we actually did listen to Matthew Good. I had an entire CD of Black Helicopter songs. There's actually a subgenre. I'm going to write, the definitive treatise on it, of Black Helicopter songs. There's just three or four on the disc, actually. But we had to listen to it as we were driving up the road to Area 51. I mean, it's Area 51. And if I'm going to be in Las Vegas, I'm going to make the trip to this place that I've been hearing about since I was 15, you know? It's 30-odd years that I have heard about Area 51, this totally super secret place that's totally not a secret at all.
And not much of a place either, really.
No, not really. There are some aircraft sheds and hangars and that sort of thing going on at Area 51. Of course, you can't see
in a bombing range.
Yeah, the bombing range. It's Nellis Air Force Base, of course, is one giant bombing range. Or at least that's what the signs tell you. You can't come in here because we drop bombs here. Of course, they don't actually drop bombs right there. But, it used to be that you could see Area 51 and Groom Lake from where you could access. But they've closed that off now, and the trucks are there to jump on you. Actually, one of the things that happened that I didn't put in that video was that the truck actually followed us almost out to the highway. They cruised about, I would say, a half a mile
Well, yeah, but Matt, you know, if your job is to sit on a hill in a hot truck for 8 hours a day, won't you use any excuse just to start the engine and drive around a little bit?
Oh, they sit there with that engine going all day long. They've got the AC blowing. Oh, yeah, but yeah, I see what you're saying, absolutely. I mean, we were the most excitement they'd had all day and probably would have all day.
Sweat condition alpha, we have a Ford Mustang.
We have a guy in an Army T-shirt with a camera.
Probably insurgent.
Talking about contractors, he can't have that.
Did you do the one thing that you kind of got to do when you know you're being watched by binoculars? Did you talk to your wrist a little bit?
No, I just talked to the camera, but I can see why that would.
Future reference, you got to, and you know, when you know you're being surveilled, you got to talk to your wrist.
You got to talk to your wrist, even though your wrist is bare and you don't have a watch on. You should still talk to your wrist.
No. You are a super insurgent. That is a flesh colored RFID embedded comm unit.
And then you can reach up and tap your ear as if you're trying to get the signal in.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, me. I tell you what, it was actually a very good trip, but.
But for everybody who read Fear and Loathing in the Las Vegas Rio, there were some hinks and kinks and catches, if you will.
Yeah, it just seemed like the satisfying way to end that blog. It also seemed like a satisfactory ending to what was otherwise kind of a non-productive weekend to me. At least I thought, until I got home, Bob. And started going through the video I had taken, going around. You remember I was bothering people at Netroots Nation, right?
You were pestering professionally leftward.
People,
pestering,
yes.
Yes,
I was professionally left pestering. I was searching for a check from George Soros. as you'll recall. And I've got a 30-minute short film up at the Horn right now. Just posted it up. That is all about my search for a check from George Soros at Netroots Nation. So there is that for your listeners to go and look at.
Yes, and I watched it earlier today. What is it, 27 minutes long? And, I mean, that was, you know, that's longer than George Bush spent looking under the coffee table for the weapons of mass destruction, Matt. And you didn't find George Soros, any George Soros checks either, did you? I mean, I don't want to give away the ending or anything, but.
No, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, there are people who get money from his foundation, but one of the things that comes up is these people say, well, you know, we don't always get money from his foundation, or it's just one of many foundations. You know, there's that. But, yeah, your listeners need to watch the movie in order to really, truly appreciate.
Just go straight over to Osborne Inc., OSBORNEINK.com, OSBORNEINK.com. And it's right there, right?
Well, actually, right now, the top post at Osborne Inc. is the Breitbart Burn Notice. I just bumped it.
Ooh.
But you can go to the Head On Radio Network. I did just post the movie there.
Oh, did you now?
I did. I posted it there at headonradionetwork.com. The Breitbart Burn Notice is running first. And I think it's important because you've read the little Tea Party article in Playboy to your listeners.
Yeah, we did reference it, and I read the whole thing, and there weren't even any pictures.
Right. You read the whole thing, and you referenced it to your listeners so they know that Andy Breitbart is seen by the Beltway GOP, by the Beltway conservatives, the K Street guys, as the leader of the Tea Party right now.
Right.
Sort of by default. I mean, Mark Williams is pretty much toast. They've tried promoting Lloyd Marcus, who is the wind-up toy that you saw in my video about the Huntsville Tea Party Express.
Yes.
That's not working. And so really, the problem for the Tea Party movement, quote-unquote, is that it is leaderless and rudderless. And Breitbart is the closest thing that the Tea Party has right now. So it's very important that we go ahead and marginalize not only Breitbart, but also effectively marginalizing anybody who would pay attention to him. Because let's get it straight.
Well, with the exception of the for-profit media, Matt, isn't a confession that you pay attention to Andrew Breitbart sort of self-marginalizing?
It should be. It needs to be. See, this is what Breitbart does. Breitbart does exactly what Ed Anger used to do in about...
I remember Ed Anger. Ed Anger's America.
Yes. And if your listeners don't remember Ed Anger, let's tell them that Ed Anger was a columnist in a publication that is no longer available in paper.
More's the pity.
Weekly World News. You remember Weekly World News, don't you?
Oh, gosh, yes. Robin the Bat Boy? Well, you know, he's from West Virginia.
That's right.
He tried to go fight the Iraqis. He went and sort of hung out like Romeo under Juliet's balcony down there at the Bush Ranch in Crawford, Texas, because he had it bad for one of the Bush twins. I remember when the space alien met with Ross Perot and Bill Clinton and George Bush and endorsed Ross Perot.
Now, see, here's the thing. You were fine with Ed Anger back then because he was sandwiched between the demon-infested toaster and...
Robin the Bat Boy.
Yes, exactly. Because he was in there, you knew he was a joke. You did not take Ed Anger seriously.
No, any more than I took seriously that old retired Air Force goober that used to run, I don't know if he's still around or not anymore, that ran his mouth on John Boy and Billy's Big Show in the mornings.
See, there you go. That's another example.
You're dealing with clowns, clowns are, you know, you expect to see clowns at a clown show.
Exactly. Now, speaking of clowns at a clown show, Tea Party Express, which Breitbart has helped to launch, this organization sends these buses out with Lloyd Marcus and all these characters on them. What the biggest draw is Victoria Jackson. Now, you remember Victoria Jackson. You've watched her meltdown in the last couple of years.
Oh, sweet Jesus. We've played her that stuff she does with a ukulele that passes for music.
And that is a clown act, Bob.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A clown act. And Breitbart himself is a clown. The difference is that instead of telling us, hi, I'm a clown and I'm here to entertain you, you know, between elephants and, you know.
Yeah, these are like Andy Kaufman clowns where we're not necessarily in on the gag.
Exactly. Now, I want to help you get in on the gag in these videos because Andrew Breitbart put forth these Acorn videos. These were the big breakthrough, breakout videos that were going to make a name for him as his big government site went online. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay, now, here's how these videos work. Bob, if you and I walk into a place and we have prearranged to have a conversation where neither one of us denies what the other is saying, what is that called? There's a word for that. There's a name for that in theater. What is that called?
A conversation where neither one of us disagrees with the other?
Yes, where we each take anything the other says and run with it and try to get a third person to go along with us. What is that game called?
I may not be... I'm gonna feel like an idiot when you tell me.
Okay, you've done this game before. In improv.
Yes.
Yes, you're standing there, and the first rule of improv is that I do not call you out on anything. If you say, my leg is broken, I don't say, no, it's not.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I'm stuck with it.
Right.
Okay, what is that called?
Damn. I'm lost.
I can't remember.
I can't, no. It's been a long time since I was on the boards, Matt.
It's called Yes And.
Oh, Yes And, okay.
Okay, so you've done improv games before. What they're basically doing in these videos, Mr. O'Keefe and Miss Giles, what they are doing is an improv game. And the one thing, the linchpin that makes it work, is the fact that she's dressed up like a prostitute. We've been over the fact that he was not dressed like a pimp. And in fact, him not being dressed like a pimp is what makes this joke, because that's what it is, that's what makes this joke work. She is dressed scantily. He is dressed like a law student. Do you have those videos ready to go?
I've got them in the order in which you sent them.
Okay, good. Why don't you go ahead and queue up the first one?
It's already queued.
All right, let's go. This is Andrew Breitbart on C-SPAN. This would be last year, October 22nd. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do it was with the news wires. And so what I've been doing over the last year is create a series of group blogs. That's the next layer in my plan. So we started one called Big Hollywood. That was the first one, and that was in January of this year. And we launched Big Government on September 10th with the Acorn story. So that's the second of a series of group blogs. The model is to have an editor in charge of that subject that knows that subject. I was a C student in high school. I was a C student in college. And before a big exam that I knew I was going to get a D on, I needed to find the best person in that class who took the best notes. And that's what I'm applying that skill set, finding the best expert on that subject, the editor.
So he's admitting he's a parasite?
Yes. First of all, he's not doing anything new. He's telling you that his websites are basically informed by newswire. That's true for Huffington Post. It's true for any news site on the Internet. It's also true for TV stations and radio, all right? When they come on with the headlines, they are telling you something that they're reading off a newswire. Go ahead and let it play.
Okay.
The of Big Hollywood is John Nolte. I called him during the Super Bowl this year. I said, hey, John, are you watching the Super Bowl? It's a pretty good game. He goes, no, I'm watching Sudden Impact. I said, good hire. He's 24/7. Hollywood. He understands Hollywood from a center-right perspective. There are a lot of people in Hollywood that are center-right. They're just silent about it because they're fearful of the repercussions. So I wanted to create a website that told the American people, and in fact the world, that it's not just Janine Garofalo's Hollywood. There's another side to it as well. Big government was the second one, and we've just this week secured that we're probably going to do about three more by the end of the year.
Okay. You mentioned Acorn. Mm-hmm. There's this Acorn headline.
Okay, what, Matt?
Okay, now, before we get into where he talks about Acorn, I just want to make it clear to the listeners. What you're hearing is Breitbart talking about going Hollywood first and then politics second. That's because what he does is basically tabloid journalism. Again, the internet version of Weekly World News, or one of those tabloids you pick up by the counter when you're checking out at the grocery store. Go ahead and let it run.
Okay.
The Washington Post duo release another video of their meeting with Acorn worker. Latest footage has audio of two conservatives, but not of the staff member. You're also quoted in this piece as saying Acorn has lied every step of the way. Bring us up to date on Acorn through your eyes.
Well, James...
Now, wait, Matt, isn't that a little bit of a clue? Bring us up to date on Acorn through your eyes.
Exactly.
I mean, doesn't the host here even know that he is basically, if he were a lawyer, he would be charged with suborning perjury?
Yes. That's what makes journalism, quote-unquote, so very different from any other human activity. What's happening here is that you are seeing a professional fabricator being allowed to fabricate on national television. And look at how he defines the Hollywood. He says there's a center-right Hollywood. When just by putting the center in there, he makes the stab at moderation.
Sure.
But in fact, what Breitbart does is push a very hard right-wing line. Go ahead.
Keith came to me, the filmmaker, having created a set of videos in which he dressed up as... he established a premise where he was trying to help create a brothel featuring underage prostitutes from El Salvador, ages 13 to 15. He went to a series of Acorn offices to try and get...
Okay, Bob.
Yeah?
What we need to realize right here is he's telling a big, fat lie.
Well, I heard him stumble over dressed up as...
Exactly. Not only is he repeating that, all right, but what he's also doing is he's repeating this whole business about how they went in with this whole thing, this plan about a brothel. That is not what happened, Bob. What happened with the Acorn video? Again, they're playing a game of yes and. And if you and I go into, let's say, a fast food restaurant, you and I can start ordering food and have this conversation about brothels while the person is taking our order. And if we take videotape and get that person to even just interject into that conversation at all, you know what we've got? We've got proof that McDonald's is opening brothels with El Salvadorian girls. That is exactly what happened. Go ahead and roll it again.
Okay.
Loans, and to try and see if Acorn would facilitate this preposterous scenario. And when he showed me these series of videos, I think it would be hard for Eric Bollert or David Brock at Media Matters, who are critics of this story, if they were legitimate journalists and they saw a series of these videos in which at every single one of them, multiple people often in the videos agreed with the premise of trying to help the pimp and the prostitute establish the...
Oopsie.
The prostitution ring with underage girls, you know, from a foreign country, that I would imagine that in a sane universe they would think, this is newsworthy. If it were an undercover operation of the NRA in which people presented themselves to be racist and wanted to figure out a way to turn an AK-47 into a, you know, automatic rifle, and the NRA said, this is all you have to do, I would imagine that they would think that that's news. I would, and I would figure out a way to put that out there. But understanding the media the way that I do, I'm a 24/7 news junkie, is I understand that the media has inherent biases. It's not a conspiracy. It just happens to be the truth. It's an organic thing. The type of people who go into journalism want to save the world. I get it, and that they lean to the left. And I had to craft a strategy to get the story out so that it would go above, so it would go past the Media Matters of the world and the Huffington Post of the world, which act as a firewall to protect the media from covering legitimate stories.
Let me jump.
Okay, stop. Bob, what you just heard was the universe turned inside out. Am I wrong here?
Well, it's also a study in straw men. Yes. If it was the NRA, I'm just this way, Matt. You know, when I hear a guy who's pushing supposed facts start talking about truth, then I know he's left fact land, Matt.
Vanity has left the building. Yes. Now, we only have a few minutes, and I want to get to the second video.
Okay.
Definitely. So why don't you go ahead and cue that up? Again, this is Mike Stark interviewing Mr. Breitbart with the information that Mr. O'Keefe was never dressed like a pimp. Go ahead and roll it.
Okay.
Pimp costume, add to the context.
How did, that was in the, I did not know that there was a discrepancy between the title sequence. I didn't think it was significant. It never dawned on me that it would, matter.
You don't think that was misleading?
Why would it be misleading? Hello, the Brad blog. Eric Bullard, you're disgusting.
The second thing,
nobody cares. He is an independent film producer. You're a propagandist for the
you've
left.
Been,
you want to destroy me.
Why does
that matter? It means nothing. He's a pimp.
Holy
cow. Mel heads over this. I don't think it was really fair to insert sections of the video with James O'Keefe dressed as a pimp if he was actually representing himself as a congressman trying to help these women. And why not just release the full unedited videos?
I would release them. I said that I would release them to Eric Holder as well. I released the full the full audio transcripts and the full... Here, let's move over here because I can't hear myself.
Sorry, man.
We're about to go on.
Okay, well, call me when that happens.
I didn't want to do this before. You got to go talk to everyone.
When Hannah and James came to me with their videos, well, it was James technically, it wasn't Hannah. He came to me. He comes with these edited videos that have a title sequence. It has a song. There's a song and a title sequence that is connected to it, not unlike Borat or Ali G at the very beginning. That's what I saw. When James and I... talked about launching these videos, I said, you're going to be held to a different standard than 60 Minutes is going to be held to. You're going to be held to a different standard than Dateline NBC will be held to. But I knew that James and Hannah, in the era of new media, would be held to a higher standard.
Okay, Bob.
Yes, sir.
What you've just heard, and it might be a little difficult for your audience to sort of have kept up in the first minute. Andrew Breitbart got pegged in a hallway at CPAC. And Mike Stark put the camera on him and asked him these questions. And Breitbart started jingling his keys and sweating and getting very nervous and moving around while he was answering these questions.
Oh, he looked like he had St. Vitus dance.
Yes. He did. He looked very, very nervous. And here is what you need to know. When Andrew Breitbart was asked real questions by a real journalist, and yes, Mike Stark I hold to be more of a real journalist than a lot of the mainstream media. When he got asked questions by a real journalist, real questions, he started dancing around, sweating, and telling us that he had not watched the videos before publishing them. That's basically what he was saying. Didn't you hear him?
He just hit send.
Yes, that's basically what he did. No background checking at all. No fact checking at all. Nothing. And this happened again recently with the Shirley Sherrod story. Again, Breitbart is not a journalist. He is a news fabricator. And with that, since we're at the top of the hour, what I'd like to do is to let you go ahead and talk to Brad Friedman about what has happened with Acorn since. And you may remember that we talked to John Atlas at Netroots Nation about what has happened to Acorn since then. And he needs to fill us in on the details as far as what is going on with this case.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Matt, stand by, and we'll take a little break, and I'll get Brad Friedman on the line. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is something a little new and different. This is the Andrew Breitbart burn notice. Credibility gone. Cut him off.
Michael Franti, let us see an LZ in the place. Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. Text all, just the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs, we heard them all before. Telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic, the tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop feet on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's a war against evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poor by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not bombing Jimmy Clay's hometown? You can say what you want, propaganda television, but all bombing. It's terrorism, chase down all our enemies. We can bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces. But we can't bomb it into peace. Oh, we may even find a solution to hunger. Even really knows why. They sold lies in the vision of fear. We yelled and cried, no one listened for years. We're like, who put us here? And who's responsible? Well, there's no debating. Cause if they ask me, I'll say it's big corporations. World Trade Organization, trilateral action, international sanctions. Satan seems like it'll be an endless price tag of what's tremendous and most disturbing. Need the death toll is so horrendous. So I send this to those that say the defenders. Send this in the hard way. We should all make a remembrance that this is bigger than terrorism. Blood is blood is blood in them. Love is true vision. Who would listen? How many songs it takes for you to see? You can bomb it for the pieces. You can't bomb it in the beat.
We can chase down all our enemies. Run, run. Bring them to their knees. We can bomb the world to pieces. But we can't bomb it into peace.
Your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed, it is. It's 5 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. We are in the middle of the Andrew Breitbart burn notice. And you know what? I got another guy on the line who's brought a You know, maybe you can think of me as having the book of matches, and maybe Matt Osborne's got the rag stuffed in the bottle of kerosene. But you know what? For a burn notice like this, you also need a guy like Bradblog.com's Brad Friedman, the inimitable one, Brad Friedman, who I think has probably brought a 50-gallon drum of gasoline. Are you there, Brad?
I am here. Hi, Bob. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. It was nice to ever so briefly meet you in Vegas.
I know, for about 30 seconds. I don't know what happened, but I lost track of you and I think everybody else.
Well, there was a brutal thing going on about 3 feet away from you with about 3,000 people trying to get at the two last slices of pineapple, and I think that had something to do with it.
That'll do it. Throw a bunch of food at a bunch of progressive bloggers, and it's all over.
Well, you know, those well-fed members of the professional left are always after the buffet.
Yeah, aren't we, though? Professional left. Who the hell was Gibbs talking about, frankly?
Send me the memo when you find out.
Yeah, no kidding. Talk about out of touch. I mean, talk about clueless. And I know we want to talk about Breitbart, and, you know, this all really connects back to the White House, in truth, because the fact is, you know, Breitbart is a bad guy. We know that. There's nothing new about that, at least not to you and me. Apparently, that is still news to the media, and perhaps most sad of all here, it appears to be news to the White House. The fact that they didn't know that they were once again being scammed by Andrew Breitbart, the fact that they didn't know that they've previously been scammed by Breitbart, you know, concerning Acorn, and by the way, have still done nothing about it. But then you see Robert Gibbs showing up today with the comments that he made. It just shows how unbelievably out of touch this White House is.
I couldn't agree more, Brad. And the question, and I think the question going forward with, for instance, Andrew Breitbart, is, yeah, we know about Acorn. You did masterful work, especially your exchange with the ombudsman at the New York Times. Matt Osborne has gone over the video with a virtual fine-toothed comb. And for me, you know, we saw Acorn, then we saw Shirley Sherrod. And going forward, for me, the question is, given the fact that the Obama administration gets the dribbling runs at the mere mention of his name, apparently, what has he got percolating in his sewer next?
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know he's got something. Now, of course, he's making it up as he goes along. And, you know, I think that the Shirley Sherrod tape, he claims that he had known about it since March, but apparently didn't bother to actually look into it or view it, you know, before irresponsibly going out there, calling someone a racist, trying to destroy their career, you know, just out of the blue, as soon as it occurred to him, as soon as the NAACP had correctly identified, quote, elements of racism in the Tea Party. So, you know, Breitbart is shooting from the hip, but the fact that the media go with this and the fact that Obama doesn't understand this, I mean, this is what is really disturbing. It's incredible how the right is calling the shots in this country. This, with the Democrat in the White House, with Democratic control of both houses of Congress, I just don't see how this gets any better. What can you do? What can you and I do? We can yell and scream. We have been yelling
screaming. Well, you know, Brad, we were told that you, me, and Matt were all told at Netroots Nation by none other than Nancy Pelosi that she admires our activism and she wants us to keep pushing. But apparently, Robert Gibbs doesn't want us to push, you know, too hard.
No, and as a matter of fact, speaking of Netroots Nation, if you saw it, I had been meaning to post it on the blog, but I've been traveling over the last couple of weeks and having a very difficult time keeping up with everything. But this video that came from Obama that was posted at Netroots, you know, that they ran at Netroots Nation, I thought it was absolutely pathetic. He seemed to be groveling, really, to the progressives there who were meeting out in Netroots Nation. but I, you know, I just thought it was pathetic.
Well, I think it contributed, moreover, to, I mean, I sensed, having been to the one in Pittsburgh the year before and having heard about the previous ones in places like Chicago and Austin,
yeah,
I sensed that this one, Brad, God, I hate to even use the word, but I sensed a malaise. And I don't think that video contributed much to eradicate it.
No, it didn't. There was a malaise. I think people understand that you know, this administration has really just failed them. And I think there's a loss of what to do, where to go from here. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, they've got control of the White House, they've got control of Congress. And we still have not only this mess, not only their failure to turn things around after the past 8 years, but now we're looking down the barrel of the gun at November and seeing that these right-wingers are, you know, very likely to come back in power. What do you do? I mean, you know, I mean, I'll tell you, whenever I go out, you know, I frequently guest host for our friend Mike Malloy, and I tell you, I go on the air not knowing what the hell, where the hell this thing goes. And I try to ask listeners, you know, what now, what next? And really, nobody has an answer. And I think that's what we saw out there at Netroots Nation. A bunch of folks who are all very, very smart,
of great intention.
Right, year
yes.
After year after year, even during the Bush administration, and still ain't no one listening to them. And I can't tell you why.
You know, maybe it's that you know, the alcoholic has to bottom out syndrome, Brad. I'm not entirely certain, but I mentioned something at the top of the program this evening. You talk about staring a loaded gun staring down the barrel of a loaded gun come November.
Yes.
There was a stunning number out this evening, like I said, mentioned at the top of the program, of some sort of polling data where, 22% of likely Democratic voters said they were very excited about the November elections. 44% said they of Republican likely voters said they were very excited. And what's even more telling out of this, the 44% of likely Republican voters has stayed stable over several months, whereas that 22% has fallen from at least somewhat larger numbers.
Yeah. I'm frankly surprised it's 22%. I mean, you know, if you don't give your base something to be excited about, and frankly, I can't think of anything to be excited about when it comes to the Obama administration. I almost said the Bush administration. Go figure. I guess
Robert Gibbs is going to put a horse's head in your bed. You realize that, right?
Yes, I know. I can't think of anything to be excited about concerning the Obama administration since their first day when they claimed that they were going to be closing Gitmo within a year. And guess what? Gitmo is still open. We're still, you know, detaining people without charges forever. What exactly are we supposed to be excited about? And, you know, when you hear Robert Gibbs complaining about the left, the professional left or otherwise.
Well, dear God, Brad, yep. Even when we get a victory like the overturning of Prop Hate out there in California, in your home state,
yep.
What does the White House do? They come out and say, well, you know, of course, President Obama still doesn't like gay marriage.
I know. I mean, it's pretty slim picking. So, you know, maybe you got it right. Maybe it is like a drunk that you got to wait for him to hit rock bottom. You know, speaking of Malloy, that seems to be his solution of late. I mean, he's been out there saying, look, he hopes that the Republicans do win in November, and he hopes the Republicans win again in 2012, and that it's really, that's what it's going to take, that it's going to take, you know, blood in the streets, and for this country to, you know, just go so far down the toilet that people have no choice but to realize which way is up, because apparently right now, they don't. Although I should qualify that by saying I'm not sure if people don't know which way is up, or if it's just the fact that the media doesn't seem to know which way is up, and the leaders in Washington don't seem to know which way is up.
That kind of carries us back to our sort of primary topic, because the fact of the matter is, you recognized early on, Matt Osborne recognized early on, many of us recognized early on, that the Acorn video was bogus, that it was a fraud, We smelled a rat early on with Shirley Sherrod and had to wait for people, you know, bless their little hearts, CNN getting it right. And you can't talk about the rise of the Andrew Breitbart sleaze as masquerading as journalism phenomenon. You can't talk about this without talking about the complicity of the for-profit media.
No, you really can't. And they have still not set that right. New York Times, for all of the months that I spent pointing out how they got the story wrong time and time again, they've issued a partial correction, but not a full correction, no retraction, no apology, which means, you know, the White House has also not, you know, issued a retraction or apology, or any of the Democrats in Congress who, remember, voted to defund Acorn based on phony, fake information, which has now been shown, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt to have been phony, fake information. But they haven't done anything about it. So, you know, I originally began writing about that whole Acorn scam and Breitbart's Acorn scam, not because I give a damn about Andrew Breitbart, but in hopes that the media would not fall again for his scams. So, you know, if we can find any bright side here, they did, CNN, as you correctly pointed out, you know, did figure out this scam in about 24 hours. That's a great improvement from the Acorn scam, which took some 6 months, and they still haven't figured out. So, you know, maybe things are getting better.
I hope so. Maybe the third time's the charm. That's the question of what's going to pop up out of the sewer next. But the other thing, what you just mentioned, Brad, is the fact that it took them 24 hours. There are things that come into my inbox every day from right wing. I get more pitches for right wing storylines than I do for anything on our side because they are much more effective in that regard.
Yeah.
But you know, there are things that I've learned. If I see American Family Association, I just hit delete. Okay. And that's where the so-called mainstream media needs to go with Andrew Breitbart. And that's kind of the purpose of this sort of detailed analysis and in-depth examination, is to sort of create the idea that when you see Andrew Breitbart's name, you hit delete.
That's what you would think. You know, I can't explain why they haven't figured that out, although, you know, for a long time we've been dealing with this sickness in the media, where they have come, after so many years of the right wing yelling about the liberal media, the liberal media, the liberal media, the media now goes out of their way, it seems, to prove, we're not liberal. And they will look for, you know, anything that they can run to show how fair they are being to right-wingers. That they'll literally run with, you know, something that comes into their inbox that you and I or anybody with common sense would have hit delete or at the very least checked out first before running. You know, the fact that CNN doesn't do that, the fact that they can't do that, and the fact that they then go on, who was it, John Roberts and Kira Chetri or whatever the hell her name is, you know, they followed up this whole Breitbart mess by going on the air and talking about, you know, I guess you just can't trust those bloggers. You got to be careful when you're dealing with the Internet because the information there just isn't reliable. And, of course, my head just about fell off at that point. You know, the Internet is the concern? No, it's you guys.
It's Ted Stevens' fault. Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Hey, Matt, you wanted to get a couple of questions in?
I let me jump in here and tell you that this is going just about as well as I could possibly hope. I do have a couple of questions for you, Mr. Friedman.
Please, call me Brad. And, Matt, great to talk to you, by the way. You've been doing great work, and thanks for continuing to make the noise that you've been.
Well, thank you, and I want to especially thank you for jumping on this story from the very beginning and for staying on top of it. I mean, we have to be, you know, like dogs with a bone here and not give up. We can't let go of this. But eventually we do need to to finalize our regard of Mr. Breitbart, we need to just go ahead and issue a burn notice. Now, for you gentlemen and your listeners who don't know what a burn notice is, there's actually a TV show called Burn Notice, and it's about a CIA agent who is disowned by the CIA. And this is what happens when an intelligence source is considered to be a fabricator, which basically that's what Andrew Breitbart is. He's a fabricator. And what the CIA or another intelligence agency will do is not only take everything that they have learned from him or have heard from him, everything that they have that source has told them, and shred it, but then they go ahead and tell everyone around the world. They actually announce openly. This is one of the rare times the CIA actually speaks. They say, we disown that person. That person is a known fabricator. Don't pay any attention to that person.
Mm-hmm.
This is what needs to happen to Breitbart. But I do have a couple of questions for you, Mr. Brad.
Yeah.
I want to know, first of all, who else, other than the New York Times, which you have talked about, who else other than the New York Times swallowed this Acorn story and this charade story and just ran with it?
Well, on the Acorn story, everybody, absolutely everybody, not just New York Times, not just Fox News, of course, we expect them to, but CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, AP, Washington Times, I'm sorry, Washington Post, on and on, name a media source, they fell for it, and none of them have issued an apology, have issued retractions to say we were wrong. On the charade story, because it happened a little bit faster, you had folks, initially taking the bait again, as usual, and then, very quickly pulling back on it because CNN did some good work. Of course, I don't know how much of that, we really should give credit to CNN for. They started reporting this story, and apparently, I guess it was the farmer's wife who was, involved in this story, the farmer who Shirley Sherrod had, supposedly been racist against. I think the farmer's wife saw the story and called in and said, oh, hey, wait a minute. That's not what happened. That's not the story at all. And I think it was really her taking proactive, luckily. She
God, so even that was an accident?
What's that? Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't expect that them, that they did something on purpose correctly. I mean, what they did do, to their credit this time, was they went out and reached out to Shirley Sherrod, and they brought Shirley Sherrod on the air, at least, to give her an opportunity to respond, something that they did not do in the Acorn case, something that virtually nobody did in the Acorn case. So, yeah, even that was a bit of an accident, to be frank. But, the upside here is that it did expose very quickly Andrew Breitbart to be a fake, a phony, a liar, before the storyline could really set in the way the storyline had, his fake storyline had set in on the Acorn case, where I suspect if you go out there and ask people, hey, are you familiar with Acorn and that whole pimp thing? Most people are familiar with it, and they still think it was legitimate. They still think that, some guy, some little white skinny kid dressed as a pimp walked into the Acorn offices, and those people at Acorn were so stupid that, they thought he was for real, and they tried to help him set up a brothel and, what was it, import underage girls or some, whatever the nonsense was. They don't even know what the real storyline was.
Mr. Friedman, Brad, thank you very much again. That was a great answer. I have another couple of questions here. One is Juan Carlos Vera,
yeah,
is suing the makers of the video. Shirley Sherrod has said that she is going to sue Andrew Breitbart. Now, I'm not really, I don't think either of them is really worried about money at this point. I don't think they're doing this to try and soak Andrew Breitbart. My opinion is that they're actually trying to get their reputations back. What are the chances that Andrew Breitbart will have to sit through a court hearing and in open court get exposed? What are the chances that that is going to happen?
answer this carefully. I think for one, it's more likely to happen in the Shirley Sherrod case if she files it. Now she has yet to file it, but I think she's more interested. You know, clearly, she cut through the garbage, cut through the BS right away. She understood what a scam this was, and she has not been she has not backed off one iota. So my hope is, if she goes to court, that, you know, she is not in it for a quick settlement, because I can promise you Andrew Breitbart and his, you know, Drudge Report millions can pay off just about anybody to make them.
Oh, they got enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of elephants.
Oh, yeah. And so it would be easy to pay someone to go away. You know, in the case of Juan Carlos Vera, this guy, former Acorn worker who was caught in this sting, who did the right thing, who reported these people, these scammers, to the police, who never, you know, broke any laws whatsoever, was fired by Acorn because they were so freaked out about the bad press that they were getting. You know, I don't know what his situation is. Frankly, I haven't gotten to talk to him. You know, he may well be moved by, hey, you know, Mr. Vera, here's a couple of $1 million. Do you mind going away now? It would be hard to turn that down, frankly, if you're someone like him who's working for a nominal salary at a place like Acorn. So I don't know. I'm hoping Shirley Sherrod will stay in there for the long haul. I'm also hoping that there will be other litigation concerning all of this, and I'll be careful to not go into details, but I'm hoping there'll be other litigation that will be, you know, coming forward in the days, weeks, months ahead, and that maybe there will be some real accountability in court, you know, for some folks who, you know, are not in it for the money, but are trying, in fact, as you say, Matt, to restore their reputation.
You know, Brad, the questions have been put forward and answered, I thought, well, by the NAACP about the racist nature, the teabaggers. And, of course, Breitbart is a, you know, he, as Matt mentioned earlier, that Playboy article, confessions from a Tea Party activist or organizer or whatever, that was quite enlightening. I don't know if you got a chance to read it or not. Yep. But it says that Breitbart is regarded within power circles as the de facto leader of the teabagging movement.
Yep.
And with that in mind, I have to ask the question. You mentioned earlier that the mainstream, or what I call the for-profit media, bends over backwards and looks for opportunities to say to the right wing, see, we don't have a bias.
Right.
Was there do you think there was an element of something similar to that inside the Acorn and the Shirley Sherrod stories, because they were so credulously willing to run with something that was looked, I mean, anybody with the mental acuity of a rotten turnip looked at that thing and started smelling stink. Was there something inside the mainstream media that said, ooh, this is a chance to get them?
You know, I don't know if they were trying to get them. The storyline, you know, this Acorn is a corrupt organization, that storyline had been going on, frankly, for years. The Republicans had been playing that scam for years.
Well, wasn't Glenn Beck beating that little drum back when he was when he was whistling the William Ayers tune during the campaign?
Oh, they've been playing that scam for years, even before the 08 election. You can go back to 2006. You can go back, as a matter of fact, to 2004. You know, one of the first things they did after the 04 election, as a terrific smokescreen from what happened in Ohio and all of the fraud that occurred there to help George W. Bush appear to have won, was they came out, you know, guns firing full barrel, saying, yes, there was fraud in 2004. It was done by the Democrats, and it was Acorn that was helping them out. I mean, they put together an entire organization called ACVR, the American, oh, for Christ's sake, all of a sudden I forgot the name of the
I remember the acronym.
Yeah, it's ACVR. you know, and it was this phony voting rights group that was created by the top attorney, the top general counsel for Bush Cheney 04 Inc. He came out and put on this charade in Congress, acting as if they had, you know, discovered all of this Democratic voter fraud. And what they did was they went on the offensive. And part of that offensive included targeting Acorn and saying, you know, look, Acorn is committing voter fraud and thousands of illegal aliens and people are voting twice and everything else. And Acorn is facilitating this. Now, this was all about the fact that Acorn, to their credit, had stepped up and had registered millions of new voters to participate in their democracy. Unfortunately for the Republicans, these voters happen to be low and middle income people, which means they happen to lean Democratic. Now, there is not a single instance anywhere, no evidence that any vote has ever been cast illegally based on a
foreign
registration.
Doesn't this all wrap back around in a way to the tempest in a teapot over New Mexico that originally gave rise to the or sort of pulled the curtain back on the whole U.S. attorney firing scandal?
It's all part and parcel of the same exact thing. As a matter of fact, ACVR was at the heart of that whole, you know, that phony U.S. attorney purge. And some of the characters who were involved in that were actually ACVR people. And it was, in fact, when the U.S. attorney scandal came to light that the ACVR scrammed, basically took off, shut down their website. It's now actually, if you go to, I think, ac4vr.com was their website. I think it will now go to Acorn, believe it or not. But, yeah, they were at the heart of this. This is all one big scam, and it's a very smart scam because it's meant to hit at the heart of democracy. Here you have this four-decade-old anti-poverty, pro-democracy group who is registering voters by the millions, and something needs to be done about it. And they went right at them to take down that group, to make false charges against them, and they were eventually successful in taking down the group. And now the question is, well, you're coming into 2010, you're coming into 2012, who are the people on the ground that are going to go out and do that sort of voter registration that Acorn was doing? I mean, it was a hell of a scandal. It was, you know, incredibly effective. And,
Brad,
my biggest concern is that the media will continue to fall for exactly those kind of scams that are that damn dangerous.
I feel like I'm watching a Morning Glory open because this thing. Damned if we didn't start talking about one thing and it's blooming into everything else. I've got a sneaking suspicion there really is a vast right-wing conspiracy.
There absolutely is. There absolutely is. There's no question that all of these things are directly connected. You can connect the dots very easily. You don't need one of Glenn Beck's chalkboards, to make up these phony connections.
I mean, it's all connected. It's kids on a small college campus in Ohio standing in the rain for 8 hours to vote in 2004. It's a shortage of voting machines in predominantly black neighborhoods in northern Ohio. And lo and behold, it's Don Siegelman.
Yep. And it's the scam then to, shut out any evidence of those things you mentioned. And indeed, yes, Don Siegelman, 2002, his election, and he'll tell you, he went to bed that night as the winner and woke up the next morning having been told, oh, guess what, the Diebold voting machines out in, and I forget the name of the
county. Baldwin County.
That's right. We found thousands of votes that just appeared miraculously overnight. And by the way, Governor Siegelman, you lost. It's all the same scam.
And going forward, again, tying back to something we talked about in the beginning of our conversation, Brad, going forward, what the hell can we expect in November? What can we expect in 2012?
Well, you know, the icing on the cake of this vast right-wing conspiracy is the fact that the bad guys out there still have control of your voting machines. And it is still impossible for you or me or anybody else to know that results, when you hear them announced, that those results are actually, you know, reflect the intent of the voter. And that's why I've been on this thing, you know, from the jump on these voting machines, on election integrity, on, you know, fighting for citizens to be able to oversee their own elections and to know for a fact that, you know, whoever has announced the winner is the one who actually won the damn thing, because you can't rely on the government to do it, can you? You can't rely on the media to do it, can you? No, you can rely, however, on the citizens, if they are allowed to see how people voted. And the fact that what we've done since 2000 is shut down the system so that it's, you know, essentially outsourced our elections to private corporations, making it impossible to see who won or who lost, you know, that it takes a question like, well, what will happen in November and what will happen in 2012, and kind of makes it a moot point. You know, a lot of people say, you know, ask me, hey, Brad, how do you think things are going to go? What's going to happen in November? And the fact of the matter is, if Democrats were out there favored right now by 10 or 20 points, and obviously they are not, but even if they were, and somebody asked me that question, you know, I wouldn't be able to say, oh, yeah, Democrats are just, you know, going to clean up this November. The fact is, we don't know. This is Russian roulette. Our elections are Russian roulette. And, you know, until you hear those results announced in the media, there is absolutely no way to know how things are going to go. It's kind of maddening, isn't it?
Well, it is, Brad. And then let me ask this. Given the fact that through the miracle, the 2020 miracle of hindsight, we can identify the beginnings of the rumblings against Acorn, as you have just laid out chapter and verse, and we see how it and we see how that thing just exploded into the O'Keefe video, and ultimately the high-tech lynching of Acorn itself. Is there another organization that is being rumbled about? For instance, when Glenn Beck started babbling about the Tides Foundation and almost got the place shot up, is there a clearly defined next target?
It seems to me the next target is essentially the unions, most notably SEIU. That is the largest identifiable organization, you know, short of the Democratic Party itself. SEIU seems to be, you know, the largest identifiable non-wingnut left-leaning organization that they're able to target. So yeah, you know, now instead of Acorn thugs, it's union thugs, SEIU thugs who are out there. You know, that's it. That's the next target, frankly, until they find a new one, until they find a new whipping boy.
I'm still seeing it being babbled about by little wingnuts here and there. Did the whole new Black Panther Party just not get traction?
Well, you know, you raise a good point.
Or do you at least have to have a road for something to get traction on?
You know what? I suspect that's going to return. I had forgotten about that one, because actually that one was sort of reaching critical mass just as the Shirley Sherrod scandal broke, and it sort of sucked all the oxygen out of that phony scandal. So, although I suspect that one will be back too before long. But I think the Sherrod scandal kind of sucked some of the oxygen out of the air and said, well, hey, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't just rely on these highly edited videos and presume there's a story there based on something that looks unseemly.
And maybe this is black helicopter stuff for me, but it seems like every one of these things that we mention, there's a common thread, Brad, of, oh, look, scary dark-skinned people.
Yeah, don't notice that, Bob. That's just a complete coincidence. The fact that, you know, Shirley Sherrod, Acorn, Van Jones, New Black Panther Party, all of those, the fact that those are all scary black people, that's a complete coincidence.
Meanwhile, James Pierce in Arizona has clearly definable ties to white supremacist organizations, and he's out there writing legislation. And, you know, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, that crowd, eh, so what?
There is no racism in the Tea Party. Andrew Breitbart says so. He can prove it with fake videos. So I don't even know why you bring up something so so absurd, Bob.
I haven't had my medicine today.
That alone makes you a racist, by the way, that you would bring that up. You see how this works? That's exactly what they do, and that's what they were trying to do in the Sherrod case. I had mentioned back in 04 with all the concerns about election fraud, the way they dealt with it was to turn it around and say Democrats are committing fraud, election fraud, voter fraud. That's what's going on. They turned it around. Well, that's exactly what they tried to do in the Sherrod case, because they were getting a lot of heat from the NAACP, from the media who were pointing out all of the racist elements within the Tea Party. And so they say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. It's you guys who are racist. And that's what that videotape was all about. This time it backfired on them, though.
And it's so frustrating because in response to this, I can't help but note that with all of that as prologue, what did President Obama do? It was almost like a prelude, Brad, to this Robert Gibbs thing that broke today about us, you know, professional left. Barack Obama went to the Urban League and delivered a lecture on bad teachers a week ago?
It just continues.
It does to you what it does to me, obviously.
I know. I'm just absolutely flummoxed by it. You know, again, when you saw what Robert Gibbs had to say, the fact that these guys are sinking in the polls, the fact that, you know, their legislation continues to fail, the fact that they can't even get the most minimal energy legislation up there, and I know, Bob, that's something that's important to you and me alike. We haven't even gotten to that. But the fact that they can't do all these things and they're looking at losses in November, and then they have the temerity to come out and suggest their problem is with the left, what planet are these people living on? I tweeted earlier today, and I hope people will feel free to follow me on Twitter at The Brad Blog, but I said, hey, fire Robert Gibbs, fire Rahm Emanuel, hire Howard Dean tomorrow as chief of staff, and we'll call it even, and maybe we can start from scratch. Short of that, these guys are clueless. They continue to be clueless, and they continue to, frankly, live up to the failure of leadership that the right has falsely accused them of for so long. It's as if they're, you know, trying to...
They're becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt, I think we got to wrap this up, but Matt, anything else?
I just wanted to bring up the Black Panther thing really quick. You had talked about that for a moment, Brad. I did a little video analysis on YouTube, which, of course, went down to complete obscurity, and this was months ago. About the time that Glenn Beck mixed up the new Black Panther incident. One black man with a stick equals riot. Did you know that? when he mixed this up with a step dance video from Kansas City and a Louis Farrakhan speech to create evidence of an Obama goon army.
No.
My question to you, Brad... this ugly narrative that's been coming out of the right-wing prop shop for a while now about the president wants reparations and oh, scary black people, they're going to gang up and they're going to take away your something or other.
White women.
Something that goes to say what?
They're going to get the white women. That's the 400-year-old narrative.
Yeah.
That's the 400-year-old narrative. And again, the Acorn videos, do they work, Brad? Without the element of sex.
Without the element of what?
Without the element of sex, these Acorn videos, they don't work at all, do they?
The element of sex?
Yes, sex.
You mean, okay, because you've got, you mean prostitutes and a supposed child prostitution investigation in the Acorn deal? Is that what you mean?
That's what I'm talking about. That's what gives it the salacious fire to catch the attention of people.
Oh, my God, it's the Mandingo syndrome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it certainly helped. Look, these guys aren't stupid. They know how to push the buttons. And that's why, you know, again, I'm critical of the folks on the left and, you know, my colleagues in the progressive media, in the blogosphere. They take the bait. We've got to stop taking the bait. You can go out there and, you know, for the past 24 hours, people have been going on and on about the latest Sarah Palin video where she, you know, did or said something stupid up in Alaska, right? Stop taking the bait. Stop wasting your time fighting the right, because it just gives them legitimacy. They don't deserve, it's a legitimacy they do not deserve. And we could talk, and I, you know, I realize, you know, especially when I'm doing Malloy's show, you know, and hey, you gotta, you know, fill up 3 hours of chatter with something. So it's real easy to go out there and take the latest stupid thing that was said by a Republican and play it over and over again and make fun of them. And this is what we do, not just on the radio, but we do in the blogosphere. But when we do that, the bad guys win because the focus is on them. Right now, who is failing us? It's not the folks on the right. They're behaving exactly as expected, exactly as we could have told you 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 years ago they were going to behave. Who is failing us? It is our media, and it is our Democrats. And we've got to keep the focus on them. We've got to keep the focus on, you know, those guys are the gatekeepers. The media is supposed to keep, are supposed to keep the Breitbarts, the bad guys, from doing what they do. But it is their failure. Because they failed, Breitbart succeeded. So don't blame Breitbart. We know he's a jackass. We know he's a phony, a fake, a liar, a pathological liar, a race baiter, everything else. We can spend all the time in the world we want on him. But when we do, I think we're missing the point. The point is, to this day, the most important civil rights, pro-democracy, anti-poverty group in this nation, the four-decade-old Acorn, has been destroyed. And it was destroyed by Democrats and Barack Obama, who signed that bill to defund them. They have not been refunded by Barack Obama. He has not apologized to them. He apologized to Shirley Sherrod.
Oh, yeah, they're off in the wilderness somewhere with the Reverend Jeremiah Wright.
That's right. I mean, he apologized to Shirley Sherrod for the one job that was lost when she was fired. How about the hundreds and perhaps thousands of jobs that were lost when Acorn was defunded?
Well, beyond that, what about the hundreds of thousands of people who were actually benefited by Acorn's efforts to keep predatory lenders from throwing them out in the street?
Yep. That's where we need to focus. And on the media who allowed all of this to happen. You know, it's really easy to get distracted by that shiny object. But we can't do a damn thing about that shiny object. No matter how much we try to shame them, ultimately they will not be shamed. The Democrats, however, the media, however, they can be shamed because they are failing in their job. We've got to keep their feet to the fire. They are the ones ultimately who are going to make a difference here, if there is a difference to be made, and it's going to be made by we, the people.
And us professional lefties.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry. I'm the one hanging onto that one like an old dog onto a bone, because, Jesus, it just makes me crazy. Brad, you have been so generous with your time this evening. I hope you're I thank you very much, Brad, and I hope you're doing well. And are you vacationing, or are you off sniffing down a story?
Well, all of the above, actually. Spending some time out here with some family, trying to get in some downtime, doing some other work that I can't yet speak about. But so sort of all of the above, sweltering in the Texas heat. And as long as I'm on that topic, before I let you go, Bob, let me thank you for the work that you're doing, the important work that you're doing out there concerning mountaintop removal, concerning all of the green issues that I wish more people were covering, that we had more time to cover. That's one of the reasons why I do the Green News Report with my co-host Desi Doyen, because, again, it's, you know, trying to break through all of the noise and focus on what actually matters. Well, and having been in Texas for the last week where it is absolutely sweltering, watching the Democrats, you know, go down in flames on any kind of climate change, much less, you know, energy legislation, is absolutely maddening. And I don't know if you heard today's Green News Report. We, you know, talked about
you'll be running in about 10 minutes.
Okay, good. Well, then I won't give anything away. But suffice to say, we are seeing the very real effects across the planet right now of global warming. And
you know, I laughed my ass off, Brad, because, well, I mean, it's nothing to laugh about, but when that Manhattan sized chunk of Greenland broke off, I was, you know, I'm a history geek.
Yep.
And I was reminded of, and he had a bunch of ideas, and a whole bunch of them were real stinkers, and this was one of them. But during the Second World War, Winston Churchill wanted to turn icebergs into aircraft carriers.
Really?
And now we've got one.
Now we've got one. Four times the size of Manhattan.
Yes.
Other than that, everything is fine. Nothing to worry about here.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
That's right.
Let me throw one thing at you before you go, because this is kind of important. You mentioned what's going on here in Appalachia. I want to extend to you right now, Brad, the warmest invitation that I can, to join us in Washington, D.C. from September the 25th to September the 27th. It's called Appalachia Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And in point of fact, we are trying to prepare and pull together a mass mobilization, not just of Appalachian people, but of people the country over, and in fact the world over, to come to Washington, D.C. and demand an end to mountaintop removal. You know, because we're tired of asking nicely. So I hope you and Desi can be in D.C. September the 25th to the 27th. The second thing, before I let you go, I have got to have some time to bring you up to speed on an electoral race that's going to be going down in exactly 18 days here in West Virginia, because it may be, for all we've talked about the 2010 midterms, it may be the single most important election that takes place in this country this year.
Hit me.
It is Ken Heckler versus Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shoot you a couple of links of a couple of things that I've written. Ken Heckler is an amazing man. He wrote the Bridget Remagen. He interviewed Hermann Göring as part of the Nuremberg trials.
Mm-hmm.
He single-handedly saved the lives of entire generations of coal miners by introducing and getting past the first coal mine safety and health legislation. He served in the Congress for 18 years, personal confidant and advisor and cabinet member to Harry Truman. He is 95 years old, Brad. And when he saw that our governor, whom we refer to as Baloney Joe Manchin, when he saw that he was going to run almost the race for Robert Byrd's Senate seat was going to be a coronation at 95 years old, with a mind as sharp as a tack, he swims miles every day. He stood up and said, "I'll not have any part of it. If nobody else will, I'll run against him." And he is.
God love him. Well, thanks for keeping me up to date on that and how that moves forward. And, oh, by the way, given your terrible voting machines out there, might I suggest folks, I normally don't suggest this because absentee ballots are terrible, but if you have no choice but to vote on a touchscreen, as I believe it may still be the case in much of West Virginia, then please consider voting on paper via absentee ballot and delivering that ballot to the county.
Which is markedly different from so-called early voting.
Yes, that's right. Get yourself a paper ballot. That's the most important thing. Fighting to have it counted is a whole different matter. The odds are stacked against us, but that's one small thing that you can do to slightly turn the odds in your favor of your vote being counted accurately. So keep me up to date, please, Bob, if you will, on that race. And also, if you get the chance, call me off air to discuss that September thing and in D.C. for mountaintop removal. and let's see if we can help in any way possible over on the Green News Report with that.
That would be awesome, and on the Brad blog, too, for that matter. Brad Friedman, the longtime editor and, well, jack of all trades and master of all at bradblog.com. Brad Friedman, thank you very much for joining us for this conversation tonight. This has been, well, I got little goosebumps. So I really appreciate you taking the time. Take care, Brad, and stay out of the heat, will you?
Well, if I had a choice, I would. But, here, you know, the sun has risen, the sun has set, and here we is in Texas yet. Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate it. And, Matt, thank you for all you're doing. Both you guys, keep up the good fight, and shout out whenever I can help.
Will do. Thanks, Brad. And that is Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at TheBradBlog. We're all tweeting now. Matt, that was pretty darn cool.
That was a lot of fun.
And
I got to tell you, it was really great to sort of interact this way, and I have some really good material to work with.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I will. We know what an amazing job you do when you, because I was explaining last night that, you know, a 7-minute video, a 9-minute video takes you an entire day.
It takes an hour to an hour and a half for each minute of video. And your listeners are probably wondering how that is possible. Let me reassure them, it is true.
I have no doubt. Well, Matt Osborne, thank you very kindly.
Thank you, Bob, and talk to you later.
All right, have a great night. Bye now. Wow, what an hour of radio. Lines are open. It's 4 minutes before the hour. We've got an hour of conversation left in the program. The lines are open. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is America's listener-supported. There's a PayPal button, headonradionetwork.com. Click the Contribute tab. Listener-supported, liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob, and we'll be back after the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen.
Light. Wind was blowing, time stopped. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, August 10th, 2010.
Thousands dead from heat waves and fires in Russia. Thousands dead from flooding and mudslides in Pakistan and China. A massive ice island breaks off of Greenland as the heat wave continues in the U.S. Global warming? What global warming?
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Part of Greenland fell off. But global warming is a liberal myth, so don't worry.
What? Me worry, Rachel Maddow? This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is sponsored in part by RawStory.com, your source and mine for real, up-to-the-minute investigative news and politics. Oh, and RawStory is also the first internet news site to offset its own carbon footprint and those of its readers. Get the real story at RawStory today and every day at RawStory.com. Okay, Tez, lots of green news going on across the planet today. I've got some questions for you, but I'll get to those in a moment. What do you got for me?
Well, that record heat wave and record forest fires in Russia that we reported on first 2 weeks ago are still raging with no signs of letting up. Temperatures in Moscow are now running 25 degrees above average and have broken all previous records. While the official death toll from the fires is 52, Russian officials estimate at least 7,000 people have died in the oppressive heat and smoke that have doubled the city's death rate and overwhelmed city morgues. Hundreds of forest fires are still raging out of control in the region. Officials admit they do not have enough personnel and are calling on volunteers and the military to combat the fires, which are also moving closer to sensitive nuclear facilities.
Oh, great. This is what? They're calling it a thousand-year fire?
Yes. Russian meteorologists say this is the worst heat wave in their archive in at least a thousand years. And in fact, by the time this is over, the great Russian heat wave of 2010 could rival the 2003 heat wave over Europe as the worst in world history. That's when about 50,000 people are estimated to have died.
Some folks are saying there may be as many as 15,000 dead in this heat wave in Moscow, which continues to be blanketed with a thick cloud of smog across the entire city.
And if that weren't enough, an estimated one-third of Russia's crops have failed in the heat. The Russian government has banned all exports of grains. That's leading to a spike in global wheat prices. And while it's devastatingly hot and dry in Russia, it's a record monsoon season across Asia, leading to catastrophic flooding in both China and Pakistan. In Pakistan, 1,600 people are now confirmed dead in flooding after 2 weeks of record rain that's overwhelmed the government and aid agencies' ability to respond. Officials say over 13 million people are estimated to be displaced, and more storms are predicted in coming days. In China, where a month of record flooding in various parts of that vast nation have killed thousands, China officials are now searching for victims of a massive mudslide over the weekend that buried entire buildings. At least 1,100 people are confirmed dead. 1,500 are still missing, according to China's official news agency. The government says millions are being evacuated and estimates damages and economic losses in the billions. And if that weren't enough, last week, an iceberg four times the size of Manhattan broke off of Greenland. So huge, it's being called an ice island by scientists. It's dropped off the Petermann Glacier, one of two glaciers in northern Greenland, and they estimate the size to be about 100 square miles. And the last time the Arctic lost such a huge chunk of ice was in 1962. The lead scientist making the announcement cautioned that it is hard to judge whether this particular iceberg event occurred because of global warming. He says that the data record in that particular area of Greenland doesn't go back far enough to be absolutely certain.
Icebergs breaking apart. Millions displaced in China and Pakistan. Tens of thousands dead in wildfires and flooding and mudslides. Food prices now potentially skyrocketing.
Billions in economic losses from the damage and crop losses.
Are we looking at a preview of what the consensus of world scientists have been warning us about now? For the last 10 or more years, is this the very real consequences of the global warming they've been warning us about?
All of these events are completely in line with predictions made by climate scientists that we will see more extreme and intense weather events happening more often, a trend toward these things. And they're saying that we're already seeing manifestations of that occurring right now as the global average temperature heats up and causes this extreme weather.
This is extraordinary. And yet back here in the U.S., where we might potentially be able to affect this future via legislation, the U.S. Senate and the Democrats and the Republicans, of course, are still dithering. This is extraordinary to me to watch. For more on that and the stories we didn't get to today, please check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Subscribe to our broadcast for free at iTunes. Listen to us on your mobile device via Stitcher Radio. And follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Brock.
9.5 minutes past the hour. I'm glad y'all enjoyed the conversation with Matt and Brad. The best example of the response of several that have rolled in comes from our buddy Clayton. And Clayton says, great program tonight. This is the kind of discussion the professional left needs. Thank you very kindly, Clayton, because it's darn sure what we try to accomplish. If you're trying to dial in, you can give up for a little bit because all the lines are full. Let's see what's going on here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob.
Hey, what's up, Cossack?
Just want to break my head off and start beating it against the wall.
Because of something going on in your world or because of the last hour?
Just everything put together. I mean, you know, when Brad was talking about the whole acorn and the Republicans out there to sink Acorn. You remember a guy named Hans von Spakovsky?
You know, I would remember a name like that, but I don't.
Does that name ring a bell? He was the guy that Shrub nominated to the Federal Election Commission, and they wouldn't let him on. He was bought by the Democrats because von Spakovsky has been the motive force behind this whole thing about voter fraud. They're stealing votes from us Republicans.
Yeah.
Right. But he was the one who was busily engaged in caging votes in Florida and in Ohio. You know, things that are like major federal felonies. Vote caging is a federal felony.
It certainly is.
And he was behind it both times.
Jesus Christ.
He was also the guy who was pushing the, again, the U.S. attorney firing scandal. That was his baby. He was pushing that bugger. He was basically telling Congress to go.
And still walking around a free man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't get on the small aircraft, huh?
Hmm?
Didn't get on the small aircraft?
No. And why couldn't we have saved a seat on that plane for Robert Gibbs?
God, he's a frustrating. But then again, let me share a different way of looking at this whole thing just came in from Matt, following up from the previous conversation. He said, I'm not saying that Gibbs isn't a victim of the Beltway bubble, but I'm actually quite glad to see the White House and the left shouting at each other. In fact, I hope they continue calling attention to each other throughout the silly season of August. Remember a year ago when the teabaggers sucked all the media oxygen out of the room at the town halls? Let's not repeat that experience. Let a center-left controversy in America fill up some airtime so we can fill the air with a center-left conversation. And Matt closes saying, in that sense, Gibbs may be doing both the White House and the left a big service by acknowledging them publicly, even as a rebuke. More, I say, says Matt. The only question is, what, and you'll hear this a lot more, what left? I mean, my God, Cossack, as a member of the left, I would like for my government to have enough money to not have to unpave roads.
Yeah.
That's the left now?
Yeah. I mean, it's gotten insane. It has gotten just absolutely mind-bogglingly insane. You know, yeah, we're the ones that showed the world how you build an interstate highway system.
Yeah, because I want net neutrality so that even weird-ass right-wingers can blog and have access and free speech and all of that stuff. That makes me the left? That makes us the left, Cossack? That's some pretty piss-poor left. I mean, that's not to the barricades. That's not Workers of the World Unite. That's nobody whistling the Internationale. Left.
Left my...
Yeah.
No, what?
Yeah, and my old aunt. Yeah, right.
I mean, it has become totally unhinged out here. And nobody is telling the people, as they should be, the Democrats should be out here banging away day and night. Listen, folks, we're the ones that are trying to make sure you can survive. It's those guys that you voted for, you know, for 8 full years.
Well, you know, I think Brad made a great point. You know, don't scream at the weirdo right-wingers for doing weirdo right-winger things. Scream at the people who ought to know better for doing things they ought to know better than do.
Exactly. Because, as both of you said, all the Democrats jumped on this Acorn thing like it was nobody's business. Look at the way that the Obama White House jumped on Sherrod. I mean, good God, pull over and fax us your resignation right now.
I know.
You haven't even heard my side.
We don't care.
By the way, did they give her her job back? Shouldn't they have?
They offered it to her. I don't think she's going to take it.
I wouldn't if I were her. Hey, Cossack, I'm sorry, but we got stacked up lines tonight, and I want to make sure that I don't leave anybody hanging like I did last night. But, you know,
you're right.
You're right. You are correct. And I think Matt Osborne's correct as well. Let's do have a little shouting match. Let's spend August having a spat with each other. Not you and me, not the horn, but, you know, us who know what's right from wrong and those who ought to. Let's have one of those little teachable moments we're always hearing about.
Yeah, we need to teach the rest of them what the left is and where it is. We're over here.
Oh, yeah, over here. Sorry for the echo. Cossack, have a good night, brother.
You too.
All right, later. That's the Cossack calling from Northern Florida and onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
Hey, no, that was a good conversation, you know. It's amazing the stuff that you can get through when you're talking to reasonable people, you know?
It is, but the more I listen, the more I don't mean for want of comprehension, but Sandra, when that moment when I said, oh, Jesus, there really is a vast right-wing conspiracy, there really, really is, and it's been going on for over a decade.
Well, I always go to the Powell memo, to be honest.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, what is that, 1972?
Yeah, you know, the foundations are laid. I mean, these people ain't messing around. But I still go back to the fact that, you know, someone who's the president and the party that holds two branches and they're still reacting this way, you know, it's just so problematic because how is Gibbs going to be turning on the so-called left or what left, like I say? Because I'm done.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
And, you know, it was just pathetic. Petulant, smarmy, self-pitying.
Don't forget whiny.
It was just disgusting. I'm like, dude, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, one thing, though, and I ran across this right before the show started, Sandra, over at Crooks and Liars. There is a disparity about the Robert Gibbs comment. And frankly, it's kind of significant.
Yeah, are you really? Okay. How so?
Well, you know, in the article, the Hill article,
yeah.
It says this. Of those who complained that Obama caved to centrists on issues such as health care reform, Gibbs said, quote, they wouldn't be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich was president, unquote. But as Caroli notes over at Crooks and Liars, in later mention, The Hill's Sam Youngman restated Gibbs' words in this way. He also said they would only be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich was president. Now, those two things have dramatically different meanings. And coming from Robert Gibbs' mouth, they mean dramatically different things. On the one hand, the first comment, he's essentially saying that the left is left. I can't even say it without snickering.
Well, no, wait a minute. Did he say both comments? Or were you saying either or?
The Sam Youngman restated Gibbs as would only be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich was president, whereas the article says they wouldn't be satisfied if Dennis Kucinich was president.
Oh, okay.
And there's an open question. Which is it?
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, the first quote, he's saying that there's no pleasing us.
Well, no, but I was just laughing at the fake straw man that everyone's, you know, all these straw man things throwing up the Pentagon. No one's saying for the Pentagon to disappear. And yes, I agree that I would like a health care like Canada. On that score, he looks like an idiot because me, along with the vast majority of people, if you ask, is A-okay with that.
Right, and it shows a certain level of sort of effete snobbery on his part.
Oh, and just, no, but it's just incredibly, it's just disgusting, because it's like, oh, yeah, right, dude. No one's sitting around saying abolish the Pentagon.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, even the Pentagon people think that there are places they could make cuts and make sense.
Well, no, but for him to sort of, demonize and sort of belittle the base like that, you know, that comment, I forget, it was Kevin Drum. Someone said that the Republicans fear their GOP base and the Democrats hate theirs. And I really think that that is so true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was just like, hello.
No, it's like unwelcome relatives at Thanksgiving. Oh, God, do we have to be nice to them this time of year? Oh, shoot.
And, you know, the sort of mention Kucinich, I mean, all of that was, the whole outburst was so disgusting. It just makes me think, well, you know, what really is going on in the White House? You know, who are these people? And, you know, because they're responding to us like the right wing does. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just really disturbing. I you know,
yeah, it makes me feel like sooner or later I'm going to have to tie a pork chop around my neck to get somebody to play with me.
Well, no, but so that was a bit special. But I do like the comment. I don't know who sent it in to you about that's good that this fat is happening. Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. Better us than the white nationalist party, right?
Well, right. Better us than. Six different reasons to hate brown people.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Or better us than eating up the news cycle with the Muslim YMCA that's now on ads on New York City buses opposing it. The New York Transit Authority has sold ads, Sandra, to people willing to pay to paint a bus, and the ad. On the one hand, it shows the jet flying into the Twin Towers.
Oh, come on.
And on the other side, it shows a skyscraper with a crescent and star.
Oh, we're in Switzerland now, are we?
Why there? September 11, 2001, WTC Jihad attack. September 11, 2011, WTC Mega Mosque, Ground Zero.
Oh, wow. I don't even know what to say about that. That is so disturbing because... the vilification of Islam and Muslims, I mean, it's just really nonstop, right?
Look, I hate to say it, but I think Dave Nywert, among others, over at Crooks and Liars, has a handle on it. And we've already seen, they're starting to shoot. They aim to get a war going in this country, Sandra.
The rhetoric is just over the top, to the point where an establishment figure... who I really don't like, Fareed Zakhar, comes out giving back awards, you know? So, you know, if that establishment elitist is responding this way, I say it's really out of control. And apparently this movement to stop mosques and anything Muslim is everywhere, you know? It's not just the Ground Zero. I read an article where there's, like, numerous projects that are under attack.
It's
at the moment.
Well, the everything is under attack. I remember when I went off on a tangent a few years ago and you know, spent 30 minutes screaming everything is broken. And I mean, I'm not over last night. I'm not over about that business of unpaving roads.
Well, the symbolism on that, beyond it being horrific to deal with, is incredible. It's like, hello, we're unpaving roads? What the hell? It's troubling. And I don't know if you noticed today, but Helicopter Bernanke is about to start. That fool's about to start, you know, quantitative easing 1.5. It's not quite 2, but it's starting to move there. Them bitches, they crazy. How much you gotta, you know, they've already to print more money back by shit. I don't know, Bob. I'm sort of stunned at the monetary policy. It's done. We need fiscal policy now. Hello.
Oh, the toaster. Somebody get Sandra a toaster. The one with the chrome plating. Jesus, we need my God.
You know, it's just kind of like you have two little things that can go on if you're dealing in this Keynesian monetarist world. And the Fed is trying to move an economy that's so effed that the only thing that can move it now is fiscal. But our politicians are so effed up in the head that we're relying on the Fed. They can't do nothing. We're at zero interest rates. I know this is really boring, this stuff, and I wish I could...
Well, no, I just wish I was mathematically sharper enough or accountancy or economically to really get my head... Because see, when I read stuff from the thinking of people like Bernanke or, Geithner and so forth, I feel like an idiot, Sandra. I do, because I keep thinking it through and I can't make it work, and they think it's gonna. Now, is that me or is that them?
Well, see, it's really bad because, I mean, you know, like we talked about before, the safety net in America is high paying jobs. That's what we get. See what I'm saying? Other countries get a welfare state. So the feds are only concerned about target inflation and policies to keep low unemployment, right? Well, obviously that's not working too well.
You know, I'm not proud, Sandra, of the fact that I have to go into Wally World from time to time.
Shit, who don't?
I have no choice. I mean, really, it's
no.
You know, it's the Goom department store in the middle of Moscow. You know, it's the only place I can go.
Yeah, no.
And so every time I walk around, Jesus. It's so sad because there's all this Chinese crap, the sweatshop labor clothing, hanging on racks, row after row of identical pieces of clothing. And, you know, then the people pushing the shopping carts have this grim facial set. And I look around at the people in Walmart. And I'm not making fun. This isn't like the people at Walmart website or anything. I'm not making fun of them. I look around and I grieve. Because as far as the eye can see, I guess that in any given day, at any given moment, in the Walmart that I have to go to, that there's maybe one person earning a living wage among the shoppers for every 50.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. And it's just really disturbing to look at the institutions that we have, you know, struggling to deal with this economy, not dealing with the underlying, for example, with the Fed, they haven't cleared the bank assets. The books are still effed up. So what they're doing now isn't going to do anything. It's just, like I said, helicopter Bernanke, except that money ain't going to fall on us, though. Let's keep that straight.
No. It's for us, it's WKRP, and as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. They're going to land on... We're getting the frozen turkeys thrown on us, Sandra.
Well, it's just more of the sort of zero interest rates where banks can and then sell back to the government at 3%. I mean, that's a good...
But how is it if the banks are borrowing and at these... How is it that if I want to go and borrow money to buy a car, I'm paying 9?
Exactly. Hey, listen, capitalism for us.
Socialism for them.
I mean, that's the only thing I can say as far as a soundbite goes. Anyway, I know you got other people.
Well, I do, but I got to ask you before you go. Have you seen the haircut?
Oh, shit! Yes! I saw that. I thought, oh, dear God, I did not get a chance. I thought, are you kidding me? What's up with the flyer tuck?
Say, yeah, it was the same. See, I saw the little Timmy Jebo haircut, and I thought, this is our, by the way, everybody listening, this is our shallow moment on the horn. And I thought he had lost his little religiously insane mind and gone deeper into Jesus land. But it turns out the Broncos have some tradition of giving rookie haircuts. What? There was something in reading the story, Sandra, that made me think, you know what? I think they invented this tradition just for Tim.
Well, no, but, people are all still sweating over what a wonderful guy he is. Because, oh, he gets it. You know, unlike that Negro in Dallas who wouldn't act right.
Yeah, right.
Little Timmy gets it. Oh, I was sick. I'm sick.
And I love the story about how when they've got him practicing, they make him practice with his non-throwing arm, tucking his Gatorade sucking towel up against his rib cage to keep him standing straight up so he can actually throw the ball to somebody on his own team.
Oh, wait, is he that? What? Is he that not a quarterback, that guy?
Really? He's so really not a quarterback. I mean, are you a baseball fan at all? Do you remember? Do you remember way back in the day, Kent Tekulve with the Pirates, or maybe Dan Quisenberry with the Royals that, you know, the relief pitchers, and they came in and threw that submarine sidearm stuff?
No, I'm not.
Well, if you've ever seen a sidearmer or a buggy whip pitcher, that's what watching Tim Tebow throw a football looks like.
Oh, dear God. I mean, I couldn't believe when he was holding out for a New York minute. I guess they got him signed up now, right?
Well, I guess they had prayer.
And, you know, I saw the dour face of Haysworth. Come on, dude. $20 million.
Enjoy the seat.
You know, I was laughing. I said, what's the deal with that fool? He looked miserable, though.
I got a feeling it's going to be a real interesting season. I sat down long enough to watch the second half of Cleveland and Dallas. And
Well, I can't wait to follow Washington, because it's interesting with that drama. And then the coach they got. So that should be interesting just to see how all that plays out.
You know, there's something about Mike Shanahan that reminds me of Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. They both got that weasel face.
Yeah, weasel, straight up rat. I'm just like, yikes. But anyway, listen, I'll let you go.
Thank you for indulging my penchant for shallowness.
Yes, of course. All right, good night.
Sandra, have a great night. Bye now.
Bye.
And 29 minutes before the hour, we're gonna march through every one of these phone calls. Okay, how about this one? Hey, welcome to the
Hello?
Program. Hey, Juanita.
Somebody just said something to me. Okay. I didn't hear him, Robert?
Gibbs? Well, it wasn't to be heard. It was an interview that he gave to the Hill the Hill newspaper.
Oh, I thought maybe he said it in one of his, for the reporters or something. He said we could never be satisfied?
Yeah, there's no satisfying the professional left. Juanita, did you know that you're a member of the professional left?
No, but I proudly accept the honor.
Hear, hear. If elected, I will run, and or if nominated, I will run, and if elected, I'll serve.
Right. Well, that's kind of like, he kind of sometimes ticks me off, because I remember he had some kind of press conference before Christmas. I don't know if it's some when they'd been called back during Thanksgiving or something, I don't know. And he was saying something about, well, I know we'd rather be out Christmas shopping. And I was thinking, a lot of people don't have the money to even think about Christmas shopping.
Yeah, and that's that disconnect Brad Friedman was talking about.
Disconnect is a good word for it.
I mean, I'm not concerned about it because, you know, the right wing's having a complete hissy about Michelle Obama going on vacation.
Oh, yeah.
And Bart Kopp handled that just viciously and beautifully today. I'm not concerned about that. That's the usual hissy. But this business of our side, supposedly, you know, the folks that we put in office, and now they're griping about us trying to get them to do what they said they'd do, and so we put them in office to do it?
Well, I feel like that this is run, our government is run by the Republicans. I'm sorry, but...
Oh, it's the darndest thing.
I don't know. Somebody just said something to me that wondered if our president was a plant. You're beginning to wonder it.
And yet, Michelle Bachmann has a tea bag and million man conference call in which one of the callers says, "I just don't understand how a Muslim from Kenya can be president." And they all chuckled, and nobody said, "Hey,
oh,
get
yeah.
the idiot off the line." Oh no,
yeah.
no, we can't do that.
No.
Because
you heard about Glenn Beck's latest thing, calling it. He thought it. He was living on the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, God, yeah.
And the thing is, after you heard Cenk was talking about
And Fox even had to edit his transcript. They took the Planet of the Apes reference out.
Who did?
Fox.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When they produced the transcript, he no longer said Planet of the Apes.
Oh. Well, Cenk played it, and he said that... rest assured that was in the script, because he said, I know that the scripts are written. He's because he's having experience with it now, being on MSNBC. And he said that was deliberately put in there no matter what they might say. But the thing is, you know, they're saying about why don't we get out and protest and this and the other. Well, people do, but they get arrested.
Well, they get arrested, or they can't get there.
Do?
Well, the teabaggers have income.
Well,
they're well pensioned white retirees who are.
You're right.
You know that they don't have to work jobs.
They've got nothing to do but think of that foolish nonsense, and that's putting it mildly.
And they do it all day long, Juanita.
Yeah,
they do it all day long.
Yeah. But it really, we would be satisfied if he would have got somebody like Howard Dean in, his cabinet. But
Rahm Emanuel had to have Howard Dean gone.
Oh, he hates it. He hates him. I've been knowing that for quite a while. And
the whole reason was because of the 50-state strategy. Howard Dean wanted to contest Republicans everywhere that they popped their little whack-a-mole heads up.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rahm said, no, we're only going to pick the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, and he was saying he was too liberal to be president.
Jesus.
You know, when he was running for president.
It makes me feel like my head's coming unglued.
Yeah, it does. It's just everything is so crazy. The crazier, the more people seem to believe.
Right. Well, apparently crazy works into the right-wing strategy.
Apparently. And like, I don't know if you or somebody else said they're trying to get more and more people to go out and murder. I think they've got a serial killer up in New York, is it, or somewhere?
I may have missed that. But
killing men.
Ugh.
And they think it's, racist.
Well, you know that John Kyle of Arizona said, well, that's a myth that crime is down. Maybe they're trying to make that become a reality now. Because, look, terrified people who have been terrorized, Juanita, and you know this as well as I do, even when they ordinarily wouldn't, they will bend toward an authoritarian mindset in the hopes that they're going to get some peace, some security, and some tranquility. And, of course, they'll never get it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Hey, Juanita, I hate to be quick, but I'm determined to hit all of these blinkers.
I got you. I understand. You have a good evening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You have a wonderful night. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
From Central Florida, that's Juanita, and I'm going to hit all the blinking lights. Well, darn it. Hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, is that Bob?
That's Bob.
Oh, this is Garrett from Bucks County. I haven't talked with you in a while.
Oh, hey, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Doing good. We're in the middle of a lot of pickups at the community-supported agriculture farm here. So.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, 15 pounds of tomatoes yesterday.
Oh, lots of people eating good, fresh stuff.
Yeah. Anyway,
I had my first fresh tomato of the season yesterday.
Something else, huh?
Oh. Chunk it and put it on a plate. Yeah, it was still warm from being in the garden. Rinsed it off, chunked it, put it on a plate, threw some salt on it, and went to heaven.
Yeah, my thing is the salt. But anyway, I want to give you a quick high fructose update.
Oh, yes.
I know you've been on this for a while now, and I've been following it with a lot of fascination because I'm convinced this stuff is bad. I have been for years. I was addicted to soda for a while, like a lot of people. And I'm convinced there's something addictive in there as well.
The science, as I understand it, Gareth, is not so much that it's addictive, but because of it being metabolized differently by the body.
Yeah.
Sugar will tell your brain when you've had enough. High fructose corn syrup won't.
Well said. And John Cusack, the actor, mentioned the same interesting. Luckily, it's a benign issue, but. You get these things called lipomas, like little fat nodules underneath your skin. And I've seen this now. I've talked to a couple of doctors on this. I got a few of these things on my arm, on my back, and they tell you to ignore them. But the first thing he said to me is, do you drink a lot of soda? I go, yeah. Well, yeah, I went to trace this further on the internet, and John Cusack, the actor, a lot of people are convinced these things are caused by high fructose corn syrup. And I've heard this from a lot of other people now, too. So there's that particular benign thing, but there's a much more serious liver thing going on, too, for certain people, you know?
Yeah.
That scares me. But guess what I'm drinking right now? This will give you a giggle.
Oh, do tell.
I went to the deli, and that's strange. That's a Pepsi logo from a long time ago.
Oh, Pepsi throwback.
Yes, Pepsi throwback. And there's one in the deli container. One. And what the hell is that? It actually said made with real sugar. I almost jumped out of my shoes, you know? Limited time only. What is your theory of
strategy? There is Pepsi throwback, and there's Mountain Dew throwback.
What? Now, why is it limited time only? Are these guys serious about going back to real sugar?
Well, I personally think it's test marketing, Gareth, because they want to see if they want to see if there's a market for it.
I liked it immediately better because, you know what? I don't think I've tasted real Pepsi in 30-odd years because...
What I find surprising, though, is that the Coca-Cola company has shown no interest in it whatsoever.
When I tasted it, Bob, it felt like 1975, being 9 years old at Mr. Nelson's farm back in Connecticut on a rock with my babysitter with a picnic. And it brought back that taste in that nostalgic moment in my head immediately. So I don't think I've tasted the real thing for a very long time, you know? Not that 67 grams of sugar is great for me either, but, you know, it's just,
whether it's sugar or high fructose corn syrup, if you drop a nail in it and leave it a week, the nail will be gone.
Right, so.
You know, acids.
This may not last, is what you're trying to tell me. Test marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Although all the indications are that, the Pepsi and Mountain Dew throwback are gonna stick. Because there's a lot of companies out there. I read a list of them the other night that are going to non-HFCS the recipes. You know, I was walking by the Hawaiian Punch the other day, and I thought, my God, this is this is marketed for children.
Right, right.
And it's still got the HFCS in it.
Yeah, and as a independent, in the political spectrum, I think about this, and it's irrelevant. I think everyone is concerned about this, Republican, Democrat, or Independent. It seems to be, I look at this as a non-political issue. I hope it's a non-political issue, but it's more of a health corporate issue, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And, well, the whole reason they went to high fructose corn sweetener was to break the back of the sugar industry.
Exactly. That's what I heard. Yeah, I know you have a lot of callers. I just wanted to sum up really quickly what Independent means. My friends keep bothering me about it. You're not an Independent, are you? You're a Democrat, right?
I am, at least for the time being. It's getting harder and harder.
Right. But here's the independent viewpoint. I talked about this the other night. It's a chessboard analogy. Democrats, I guess, the black pieces. Republicans, the white pieces. Of course, the kings and the queens are the politicians themselves, of course. On the flanks are the most powerful things of all, most powerful pieces after them, which, of course, are the corporate castles or rooks.
Yeah.
And then you have the knights. Ambitions, which are really social issues, which you can take them or leave them. Sometimes they can be critical. And then, of course, you got me and you, the pawns, easily sacrificed. That's basically how it all plays out in our head, the independents these days.
A long time ago, a dear friend of me, a friend of mine, I'll get it right yet, Gareth, said that the right uses, like, the anti-abortion crusaders and so forth. He described them so accurately as cannon fodder in the culture wars.
Right, there we go. Cannon fodder, that's a pawn again. Yeah. Well said, Bob. Well, I'll let you go, and I'll call you again next week.
All right. I look forward to hearing from you, Gareth.
Yeah.
You take care. Bye now. Gareth, calling from Pennsylvania, and I'm getting a little bit of data coming in. The Coca-Cola no HFCS is on the way. David in Tennessee has seen some. Regular Coke is going to come out with a vintage Coca-Cola. And Ron in Raleigh writing and saying, some Costcos are selling Mexican Coca-Cola made with real sugar. The whole story of how Coca-Cola's international headquarters broke the individual bottlers so that everything was done through what's called Coca-Cola USA is an amazing story of corporate graft and greed. It happened back in the mid-80s, and part of that was going to an HFCS formulation that would then make it too pricey for the independents to continue buying sugar. Sleazy bastards, you know. By the way, only one blinking light left. A bunch of busies and so forth. But if you want to try to catch up after this next call, if there's someone there, and there is, you're free to join in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jim. What's up?
Very good program tonight. Many points given and many points well taken.
Thank you.
You know, maybe I'm way off the point here, but I don't think so. There's a distinct correlation between what is going on today and what went on in the Communist Party in the 1940s. Remember the Fourth International, championed by Trotsky?
Yes.
And, of course, socialism in one country, championed by Stalin, which was really nothing but state fascism.
Well, that's the absolute truth, yes.
Well, it would appear to me as though with some of the things that are going on within the Democratic Party and people who are trying to defeat these teabaggers and Republicans and people of that nature who bear this country no goodwill, I'm just afraid that in November, the people on the left are going to end up, just like Trotsky, with an alpha shot right through their heads if they don't watch out.
Well, I think that plays into what Sandra said a little bit ago, Jim, about the fact that the Republican Party fears its base, the Democratic Party despises it.
Well, there may be some element of truth in that. And, you know, this morning, and I'll be quick here, they had Sarah Palin up there having a sit-to with someone who was accusing her of a number of things. And I just wonder, why in the world are the members of the media giving this woman any more attention? I mean, she's obviously a fool. She obviously has no sound knowledge of anything except her own ambitions, and she's just riding this tide of it. I mean, I just don't understand why our media is whatever.
And, it's become so pervasive. Consider an example, if you would, please, Jim. You know what the Discovery Channel is, right?
Oh, yeah. I watch it constantly.
Okay. There's a lot of other properties that are associated with Discovery. One of the things that the Discovery people own is a very valuable, very earnest, very serious, very good website called treehugger.com. Great information over there. Environmental stuff, wonderful. A lot of good thought, a lot of good suggestions for ways forward. You know, really good environmental green type news gathering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this company that has all of this green stuff about it is putting Sarah Palin on the air. They're actually going to premiere a show. They've already shot episodes, Jim, of Sarah Palin's Alaska.
I've heard of this. Yes, I have. And I wonder why in the hell are they, associating this woman who was elected to be the governor of that state.
And bailed out
for her own private concerns and, you know, basically told the people of Alaska to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. She's bailing Palin, but here's the scary thing about that stupid program, Jim. And that is this. She has about her, and you've described it aptly, she's got that slow-moving train wreck aspect about her. And the only thing that networks pay attention to, as David in Tennessee is noting, is the numbers and the ratings. If they could get away with putting up a test pattern in and breaking that periodically for commercials and people would watch it in massive numbers, that's what TV would be. And that is the equivalent of Sarah Palin's Alaska. So that what happens, and this is the disturbing thing, because I can even sort of feel it in my own bones, and I'll have to resist the urge, there are those of us on our side who will inflate those ratings numbers by going over to watch her suck.
You're right. But even if you have to see this stuff and hear what this woman has to say, I mean, in my opinion, I think she belongs in a mental institution.
She belongs on a Carnival Midway sideshow freak act.
You know, she wants to go to Washington. I have a very good place in Washington for her to go, and that's St. Elizabeth's Hospital.
I was about to say, what, St. Elizabeth's? Yeah, there'd be roomies with the Mark David Chapman.
My God. Well, listen. You got people that you want to talk to, I guess, but it's some very good information, and it's just incredibly. Well, it isn't what I would like to hear, but you know, you have to turn around and face this dragon, and
you can't run away from it forever.
No, you can't.
And it's not so much you can't or we can't; it's they can't. You know, there is no want of courage. There is no want of vision. There is no want of determination on the part of whoever it is that Robert Gibbs is calling the professional left. And by the way, I'm proud to be a member of the professional left, right along with you, Jim. Welcome to the club. Didn't know you were in it, did you? There's no want of any of that. But where the want of courage is, where the want of backbone is, where the want of vision and determination is in the people that promised us that they were worth electing because they had it.
Well, you know, repartee and badinage are simply not enough. And I don't know what the solution is. If I had it, I would be telling you right now. But we will see. But it doesn't look very good. It really doesn't. I mean, the whole spectrum of the entire blue planet seems to be just coming apart at the seams.
And Churchill's aircraft carrier is melting its way toward. Oh my God! I know.
Oh yeah, he wanted to make aircraft carriers out of icebergs. Yeah.
And now you know what? Somebody needs to just fly up to Greenland and spray paint HMS Churchill on it.
You're right. And, what can one say? Well, listen, have a good evening, have a good program, but please remember the analogy between the Fourth International and what was going on in the Soviet Union at that time.
I'm going to go and read it, and if you've got any good links, I'd appreciate it if you'd send them to me, Jim.
Okay, and you see who won. Absolutely.
Oh, I think I remember.
one other thing. Stalin was plotting, he was methodical, he was just, relentless. He wasn't very brilliant, and that's the type of thing that appeals to the majority of the people in this country. Whereas Trotsky was extremely brilliant, extremely ecumenical. Oh, he wasn't any saint by any means.
No, but he had a far better understanding, I think, of what the world dynamic at the time.
Exactly. You know, the world dynamic, the world view,
and for that he got a bullet in Mexico City, right?
No, he got an Alpenstock right through his head.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Well, listen, you take care and have a good program, and thank you for having those two gentlemen on the air tonight. They were extremely well worth the time that you spent on them and that they spent on you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very kindly. I do appreciate it.
And remember my thing about Palin and the system of measurements that I sent you.
Oh, I do. I do love that. I will find time later to share that.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Jim. Bye now. And one last call. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. This is Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Andy from Redwood City, California.
Hot diggity, the home of my favorite pepper seeds. The Redwood City Seed Company of Redwood City, California.
Really?
Yeah, it's the only place I've ever found where I can get chili tapeen seeds. They're semi-wild. They're very hard to grow. and it's they're little chili peppers that are hotter even than a habanero.
Must be the climate here. It's an amazingly consistent climate. It's almost the same every day. No matter what time of the year. It's like always 70 degrees, if not cooler. Anyway, by the way, I wanted to mention, you were great on Democracy Now. I got a chance to look at that clip.
Oh, well, thank you.
You really did a nice job, and you were very genuine. I thought you came over very authentic, and I'm sure, you got to the heart of a lot of the audience.
Well, I'm still waiting for the calls from Rachel and Keith, but, maybe they'll come someday.
But you did a great job. And your last caller, Jim, indicated, Brad and Mr. Osborne were just great. He had a great show today. And that Dion Gibbs, what are those guys smoking, man?
And that's the funny thing. He accused us of being on drugs.
Right. It's a wet dream to just have health care like the rest of the developed world. I mean, is that so much to ask, just to have health care? That it's not just me society, that we can't just be for all? And why does Germany have a 7.6% unemployment rate now? Their industrial production is up 3.2%. Their exports are way up, and people are buying like crazy in Germany, and they all have health care.
Two words, manufacturing policy. They have one. We ain't.
Exactly. They have the policies. And we just have globalization, free trade, friggin' garbage here. It's a joke. If Obama wants to turn things around, that is what he's got to do. He's got to start talking big picture and talking.
We've got to start being, right, exactly, Andy. We've got to start being able to make something besides bombs.
Exactly. And let's get the policies going here where we create entrepreneurship here and I know they hate this word, but I love it. We protect our industries here. We got to grow and protect our industries here like the rest of the developed world is doing well, and China, who is eating our lunch, is doing.
Instead, in maybe a year or 2 years' time, and maybe we even talked about this, we will start seeing Chinese-manufactured automobiles sitting on new car lots all over this country.
Oh, it's coming.
I mean, no, that's not speculative, Andy. That was a deal signed with Chrysler and the People's Republic of China Army auto manufacturing arm 3-4 years ago.
Right. And that rich SOB who's putting together the gang of 40 million billionaires, to contribute all this money, like they're Andrew Carnegie doing this great gift to society after they just destroyed us economically and they sucked out the money out of the middle class, that they're going to give it back. Look, Buffett is giving like $250 million to their automobile industry in China, the electric car industry, just so they eat our lunch again.
The David in Tennessee has been listening to you, and he noted something just a minute ago. He said, Gibbs and those boys, they ain't smoking nothing. They are way high on focus group.
Yeah.
And you know what? That may be a bigger high than anything that any the chemical substance could give. Because if you just sit there and you watch what the focus groups say and what the little old lady from Dubuque offers, then you can, hey, man, we're doing great. Why are they criticizing us? Look at all we've accomplished.
I guess it's just de rigueur to go after the left. I guess that's what
we're easy. First of all, we're the left, and the minute that you say the professional left, well, that means that it's those crazy feminists out there burning their underwear and the healthcare grannies that are right, because it's a parody that is immediately made. Meanwhile, you mentioned the German unemployment rate. Well, the fact of the matter is, as David in Tennessee notes, in Germany, Andy, it's illegal. It is illegal. It is against the law. It is a prosecutable offense to do to the German economy what Wall Street and Goldman Sachs and that crowd did to us. And you probably know that better than I do. And here's the real linchpin to the deal. In Germany, they've got this silly notion that they have a right to enforce the law that they have on the books, and they do so.
Well, they came out and they outlawed credit default swaps there.
They just outright said, no credit default. You will not be shorting our economy. You know, you will not short our sovereign debt. That will not happen here. Period. Doesn't happen here. I mean, because, you know, just like with net neutrality, our government agencies and our government seems to be completely spineless to operate, but they protected their economy. You're not going to fool around with our currency. You're not going to bring us down. None of this Wall Street garbage there. Anyway, I know you're running out of time. Show's about over. Just wanted to get my two cents.
You know, well, I really appreciate that you did, Andy.
You had a great show. You had a great show today.
Thank you very kindly, and I hope we talk again soon. Enjoy Redwood City.
Yeah, I was just in the library listening to your program. I wanted to call in so bad, so I just jumped out of there to make the call. All right, great.
Cool. Thanks, Andy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Andy of Redwood City, California. No, really, the Redwood City Seed Company. It's the only place you can buy those seeds. And if you can get one to grow and you can bring it in and stuff, they can be as much as 6 feet tall by 6 feet wide. And they're great at Christmas because they're covered with all these little teeny tiny BB-sized green and red chili peppers. Just saying. I'm also saying it's time to get out of here. Malloy will be getting started. I'm going to go listen to Malloy like everybody else. Thanks, everybody. You made it a wonderful show. You always do. Again, thanks for all the help with the septic system. I might be dragging my tin cup across the bars by now if it wasn't for y'all. Hey, you screw! Come here! Yeah, see, I don't do that very well. But thank you. Thank you so very much. Thanks go out always to John Fox. He's our webmaster, web designer. He's our chief engineer down in Australia. Also a wonderful show host in his own right. He helped me get something posted on the series of tubes last night up at headonradionetwork.com. If you go and have a look, you know, you heard me talking about the Joe Manchin-Ken Heckler race with Brad Friedman. I've got Manchin versus Heckler, a head-to-head comparison, posted at headonradionetwork.com. You can comment if you want. You can comment via your Google ID, your Facebook ID, MySpace, WordPress, OpenID. You can comment with all of that, and offer your thoughts. Manchin versus Heckler, a head-to-head comparison. One of the things we have to do is make this a national race, if for no other reason than because it is. So thanks to John for helping me get that posted. He worked really hard on it. It looks really cool. Thanks to Ben Birch, getting ready to head out on a much-deserved vacation. WhiteRoseSociety.org has been the repository of all things good in the way of liberal talk on the Internet since 2002, and he has done it tirelessly and selflessly. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to our chat room moderator, Lottie. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Matt Osborne, what a job he did tonight. Osborne, Inc., OsborneInc.com. He is our Southeast correspondent. And of course, my head writer is David in Tennessee. Continue your good wishes and prayers, please, for Judy Bonds. She is in a hell of a fight, and she needs all your thoughts and good wishes. Again, I extend the offer. If you want to send something in the way of good wishes, just send an email to me with for Judy in the subject line, and I will see to it that it gets to her. Judy, of course, is one of the heroes of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. They are the hardest working, bravest people I know. For reasons that I hope by now are obvious. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to Ted's Tubes Tuesday. Well, at least this Tuesday will be Ted's Tubes Tuesday. The author of that famous line. Well, I'll let you hear it for yourself. He has gone to his long home. He has gone to his reward. They've thrown his carcass on the back of a big truck. And with any luck, we'll soon flush it down the series of tubes. Ted Stevens. Dead in a plane crash. You got to wonder what he did to piss off the Bush family to make him get on that small aircraft and go boom. My, it wasn't that tacky of me to talk about a dead guy that way. But you know what? He didn't think much of us during life. You liberals. So, you know, fair's fair. No, old Ted's gone. Yes, indeed, Ted is gone. But not forgotten by any stretch of the imagination, he is an internet god now. He has transitioned to the astral plane.
Delivered in other ways, but they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Yes, it is, Ted Stevens. And we're glad you noticed. But the man who screamed, "Now!" I guess he, in many ways, presaged the current GOP party of now! He's gone. He's out of here. He has checked out. He's pining for the fjords, if you will, Ted Stevens. So, bye-bye. Okay, that's about as much as he's worth. Some great... first, I'm going to go to the mailbag in a second. But let's get everything in order the way that it needs to be, all neat and tidy, before we jump into the program tonight. Where to start? There is much jubilation here at the mansion this evening. I am proud to report to you that only via your goodwill and your good efforts, all of you, the septic system is installed. It's done. It works. The monkey is off my back. I don't have to worry about $100 a day fines or wearing cute little day glow orange jumpsuits with little matching plastic shower shoes. It's done. It's done. And it is a great relief, and suffice to say that the entirety of the Kincaid family is positively flush with joy. I made it funny. We're flush with joy at the prospect of the new septic system. Flush. You get it, right?